about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I have something I need to get off my chest. I'm not sure you're gonna like it.
Oh. What? Wow.
I told you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
So I looked up a lot of these bands you claim to see the true, and none of them exist. Not a single one.
Do you see this? Do you see this right here? You know what this is? This is me playing you on the world's biggest cello.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
Have you ever heard of Muggs? Lovely guy.
Ugliest man I ever laid eyes on. That's what everyone called him, Muggs. His face was all over the place.
And now.
You are funny. You are a funny, funny man.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 6th of October.
So, the 6th of what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you correctly.
6th of Rocktober.
Yeah, I thought there was an error in the transmission there.
My bad.
Glad that was corrected. Hey, what's up? How's everybody?
You know, living the thug life like we
right?
do.
How's your face? Does it hurt? Because it's killing me.
Hey, but seriously. I took a nap.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that didn't hear yesterday, they took a mole off my face. They were afraid it might be cancerous or whatever.
Little procedure that ended up hurting a lot more after the fact than you expected.
Yeah, who
yesterday,
knew?
You were in a lot of pain trying to do the show.
Felt like somebody shot me in the head with a bullet. Right. So I have a couple of stitches on the inside that are going to dissolve, and then on the outside I got a couple. And then I scratched it and it started bleeding, so I went back, and that's when I realized that I had 7 stitches on the outside. And I had to put 2 back in.
Wow.
So fantastic. Thumbs
up. Why did you scratch it? Is it itchy?
I was taking a nap. I don't know. So
oh, I
assume it was itchy.
She just woke up with blood all over your face.
Yeah, like you do. You know.
This is
like a crime scene.
What you're doing, Kevin, is no way to live a life.
Well, I'm saying I don't have any choice, right?
Right, but when you wake up and you realize your face is covered in blood.
Yeah, I mean, that's not ideal.
You go, what's happening? What is it? This is my life.
That was not my goal in the morning.
So they say you're going to be fine, though?
Sure.
Did they test the thing they took out of your head?
They sent it for testing.
Okay.
Yeah. Who knows?
They didn't take out any brains, did they? Because you can't afford that.
Well, I mean, I got plenty, so I don't know.
Really? Told them to help themselves? All right. Well, good luck. I hope everything works out.
Thanks.
I do have a story to get us started before we get into today's excellent Kevin and Bean show. Now, you remember a few days ago we were talking about a story that looked like it turned out to not be true about a man in Florida who met a young lady on a dating website and ended up marrying her, and they turned out to be grandpa and granddaughter, right?
Yeah. Well, for some reason, I think both of us wanted that story to be
very
true.
Much so.
Yeah. That's odd, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah, because he was like 68, she was 24, and he had won the Powerball, and we thought, well, this is just everybody wins in this one. Well, that one turned out to probably not be true. This one is true and verifiable, and it is mother and son who are madly in love
Come
and are being
on.
Prosecuted currently
Good.
In the state of New Mexico. Now, here's the story, Kevin.
It's not stepchild.
No, this is her son.
What the?
But again, just like in that Florida story, this is a situation where they have been separated since the baby was born. She's 36 years old. She gave birth to her son when she was 16 and gave him up for adoption right after he was born. Had not seen him for over 18 years. So they were strangers to one another. What's different about this story is they did reconnect on Facebook and knew that they were related, knew that they were mother and son. Okay, so they had that going in.
Before their relationship, they knew.
Yes.
What?
Yes. That's why this is anything that happens to them is justifiable because it's not an innocent case of we didn't know. They knew. So they reconnected last year on Facebook. Again, she had not seen him since she was a baby. She picked him up from his adoptive father's house in Texas and brought him to her home in Clovis, New Mexico. Then she said she got butterflies in her stomach. I met him outside. I knew it was him when he came toward me. He was crying. He gave me a hug. It was almost love at first sight, but at first it was just mother love. He gave me a mother hug. So he came home in the truck to come live with her, and we were both happy. No, please, not yet.
Right?
Not yet. Yes. We were both happy as mother and son. Then she said she started getting her words, crazy feelings about her son.
Oh, see? Yes. That's how it starts.
Like she had met somebody new in her life and she fell in love. She said she shared her feelings with him and he told her he was in love with her too, and then they began a sexual relationship. You say they are speaking...
That's your mom.
Right.
That's your mom.
Yes. Now,
but the thing about this story that's weird is that it's his mom.
No, look, I get all that. Okay. And it's impossible for me to put my head around this. And it is for you as well.
Right.
Because when we say mom, we think woman that we've known since we were born, that raised us.
Right. And there's nothing
sexual about that. Right.
Yeah. There is. It just doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
That's so weird.
Is it different if you meet a person who you've never met before?
I can't imagine, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard for me too. I never thought it was crazy to
you
have these feelings.
You fell in love with your relative. We're going to take your calls today.
He says, I never thought I was crazy for having these feelings because I did not see her as my mom. It was more like going out to a club and meeting a random person. It didn't feel wrong. It felt normal. By the way, the age difference alone makes it weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
He's 19. She's 36.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it goes on and on and on. Basically, they're talking about
no.
By the way, she does have some lovely tattoos on her face.
Nice.
She lives in a trailer. She has 8 other children, by the way. Currently, their trials are starting this month. They're separate trials, and she is now prohibited from seeing not only this son but any of her children pending the outcome of that trial. So it has created a tremendous firestorm in this family. It is not going to be a fun Thanksgiving at their trailer this year.
And you said New Mexico.
New Mexico,
what the
hell? She claims, by the way, that she's willing to give up seeing all of her other children if she can still be this son. He is the love of my life, and I don't want to lose him.
That's
Nothing
nice for all of her other kids.
Yeah, it really makes
that's
them feel
sweet.
Good, right? The courts can't come between us, not jail, not anything. I have to be with him when I get out of prison. I will move out of Clovis to a state that will allow us to be together. And by the way, there aren't any of those. Because incest is illegal in all 50 states.
Right.
So anyway, that's what's going on in the great state of New Mexico. So please enjoy.
That's not what you want. That's all I'm
it
saying.
Is not.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I cannot believe this stuff is on the radio. I'm sorry. I've got to collect myself because this is what our youth is being subjected to.
Right.
I'm afraid so.
Jim Rome talks sports like we do on Thursdays. We also check in with the good Dr. Drew. Today talking about Kid Cudi. Not sure if you saw that story or not, but that's a fascinating
story. Something else.
Yeah. Halloween traditions that you have with your family. Ralph celebrates Halloween early in the month of October and has a day where they pick, and they pretty much decorate inside and outside. And they do this every year.
I
like
that. A few things I do every year for Halloween, too, we can discuss.
Okay.
I have some traditions.
Are they normal things? Are they things any other people would do?
I mean, I'm sure there are – I mean, look, it's a big world. I'm sure there are lots of people who put the blackout shades on the window to make sure nobody can tell if you're home. You know, things like that.
Sure. There's now jewelry for your beard. So if you have a beard, you can buy jewelry for it.
Finally.
And that's cool, right?
Yep.
Beer mug on the red carpet of the Streamies.
Oh, I can't wait.
Is pretty amazing. Yeah.
Here's what I love about Muggs' interviews. When we send him to red carpets with stars on them, he doesn't know anything about them. He has nothing to say to big stars, actors that have been in 25 movies he can't find a question for. What's he going to say?
How has life been for you up to today?
Exactly. What is he going to say to the Streamies when he is faced with people he's never heard of?
Well, I'm going to have to go in the other room and ask him who they are because he does not identify them nor let them talk. So he's got that going for us.
I can't wait.
And also Kevin Pollak, comedian, actor, writer, director. He's got a new movie that is called The Late Bloomer, and it's very funny. Very funny. We're going to talk to him today on the Kevin DeBeecho Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBeecho Show. It is 5:52.
What we need to do is get you one of those collars that they put on dogs when after the operation so that the dog can't gnaw at their stitches or scratch it. We just put a big cone around your head. And then that way you won't be pawing at your stitches.
That's tough to argue that would work.
I think that would work.
That's a fantastic idea,
Ralph.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a problem solver. That's what I do.
Well, here are those brand-new Beer Mug red carpet interviews coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Thursday morning, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I can barely focus. I can barely focus on the Showbiz Beat.
Oh, why?
Because I'm just so excited about Viv. I could not be more excited about Viv.
Viv!
It's all about Viv for me.
Oh, Viv.
Can't wait to meet Viv.
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 What's Viv?
Viv, Kevin, is the newly announced competitor, the cross-the-aisle smackdown that's going to happen between Viv and Siri. See, Apple has their little girlfriend Siri, but me and my boy Dave, the king of Mexico, on the other side, we are hardcore Samsung boys.
Right.
We boys.
Uh-huh.
We team Samsung, yo.
Okay.
And that's because you like the excitement of not knowing whether you're going to blow up a plane every time you travel?
Oh, stop. And so they're bringing on Viv. Viv is going to be our little digital assistant.
That's
going to kick some Siri ass, yo.
That's the name they all agreed on?
Viv.
Viv.
Oh, Viv has everything. Viv.
Okay.
It's reminiscent of vivir, which means to live.
Sure. That's the first thing I thought.
In Espanol.
Right.
Vivacious. Vivisection. It's got everything.
Viv.
Just announced Viv. Viv is supposed to be, by the way, Siri on steroids.
What can it do that Siri can't do?
First of all, it is more conversational and can answer complex questions like people really talk. Boom, Siri! Suck it!
Hey, do you guys know anyone who uses Siri on their iPhone?
No.
I don't either.
I don't.
Then maybe I'm not quite as excited as I was.
I mean, it's not to say you won't. You may love it. It just may be perfect for you. But myself personally, everybody I know just searches. You know, they don't.
You don't talk to Siri?
No.
You don't ask Siri questions?
Never.
That's the whole point of having Siri.
I mean,
Siri, what is the cube root of 9?
Yeah, I just Kevin, enter that in my search engine.
3.
Wow.
Whoa.
Suck it. That operation on your head worked. Whatever they did to you fixed you.
I think they should fire Siri and Viv and have the Kevin should be the who you ask questions of.
My problem. Samsung brings you the Kev. That'd be the best. Kevin, what's the cube root of 9?
I don't even have a Rubik's Cube. How would I even know? There's a plant? Is it roots? It's the Kev.
Anyway,
so when's
I'm
all
very
this?
Excited. Very excited about.
When's all this going to be available, Ralph?
Very, very soon.
No idea. Right?
No idea. Just says my Samsung phone is about to get Viv. That's all I know. So I'm excited for Viv. All right, let's carry on with the show business news. This is pretty cool. I would go to New York to see this. Tickets went on sale yesterday for a new production of Shakespeare's Othello. Othello. Kevin, you know the story of Othello, right?
Sure.
Why don't you brief everyone who's not familiar
with there's a boy king.
The bard's work,
and,
Othello.
What? There's a boy king.
There's no boy
and
king.
And he's ruling
this. King Tut. We're thinking Othello. Othello.
Othello. There's a boy king.
All right, never mind. Othello, of course, the story of the Moor, who's desperate in love, very jealous, and he has Iago in his ear, spurring him on, driving him insane with jealousy over his beautiful...
Before or after he became king?
He's not a king.
No.
They have announced a new production at the New York Theater Workshop off-Broadway, starring David Oyelowo as Othello and Daniel Craig as Iago.
No kidding.
That's some intense mother-loving acting up there, boy.
Wow, you got to check it out.
Right.
Previews begin November 22nd and opening night is December 12th, but then it's a limited run. It's going to close January 18th. Oh, those tickets are going to be ridiculous. It's going to be impossible to get. Now I'm depressed. I know you're not a big theater guy, but you'd go see that, right?
No.
You'd go see those guys on stage?
I mean, maybe because it's them. Otherwise, no.
I'll never forget the time I took Kevin to see Death of a Salesman, known as really perhaps the great American play. Could there be any more modern American production that is in a more high regard than Death of a Salesman? I don't know. Willie Loman, one of the great characters in all of drama. We went to a matinee, The Death of a Salesman, with, I believe, Brian Dennehy. I mean, just a star-studded cast. And I'm sitting there watching Death of a Salesman, enraptured by the brilliance of the actors on stage and the words. And I hear next to me... Kevin just out. just snoring up a storm.
In my defense,
unconscious.
We were out late the night before, and I may have had a beverage or two, and it was nice and air conditioned inside, and it was very. It was a nice nap, Ralph. Thank you.
It's not a. You don't nap.
I appreciate
during
it.
During death of a
I really
salesman.
Needed that nap though, so I'm saying thank you for providing that. It's nice.
That's something else right there, man.
Right.
That is something else right there. You guys wondering who watched the vice presidential debate?
No.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
It pulled in 20.3 million total viewers.
Wow, I'm surprised.
That's a lot
by
for
that.
Two people no one cares about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's significantly less than obviously the presidential sure. debate, what that drew. Just to give you some perspective, NCIS pulled in 14 million viewers the same week. Dancing with the Stars, 8.8 million. The Voice. They did a sort of a retroactive clip show on their episode, 7.8 million viewers. So it did better than a lot of television because it was everywhere, of course, but still. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jeremy Sisto from 6 Feet Under. He was Jesus for a while. Very talented actor, 42 years old today. Yon Griffith, love him. Mr. Fantastic. 43 years old today. And Elizabeth Shue. Oh, Elizabeth Shue. Boy, I had a crush on her back in the day. Adventures in Babysitting? Come on! Back to the Future? Come on!
I'm with you.
Leaving Las Vegas?
Come on!
Oh, and she was that whore.
Come on!
Yeah, it was good times. Happy birthday, Elizabeth Shue. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The 2016 Streamy Awards just happened.
Woo!
And we sent Beer Mug to the red carpet so he could get some interviews.
Now, the Streamies are an awards show. It's been going on for a few years now that honors the best in online video and the creators behind it.
Right.
So there's lots of people with very, very big followings on the internet making videos. And it's kind of become legitimate. This is an actual award show with actual celebrities showing up. I know James Vanderbeek was at it this year and Lamar Norris from New Girl
Names
was there.
Name some other people that were there.
Biz Markie was there.
Yeah, who else?
What else do you need besides Biz Markie?
No. I just want you to name more people that Beer Mug did not interview. whoever you name, he didn't interview.
Well, Muggs, what was the setup like? I know a lot of times you're restricted as to where you can go and who you can talk to. What was the deal with this one?
Oh, we were right up front on the carpet. We had prime spot.
All right.
Prime spot.
So you interviewed Entertainer of the Year, Yusuf Erekat?
Yeah, that guy.
No?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I didn't get any of that. Here's what happens. He sends the audio to Omar, and then Omar listens to it. He's like, This is just killing me. So he edits it down to about 8 minutes, and then he gives it to me, and I edit it further. So by the time it got to me, that was gone.
Okay.
Because it just must have been dull beyond words.
It doesn't sound like you dug Mr. Erekat, Muggs.
No,
happened?
He was a douchebag.
All right.
Okay. The show of the year, the Philip DeFranco show?
No, I didn't get him.
No. Okay. Show of the year, though. And you're show in a prime spot.
Yeah.
Show of the year. Didn't talk to him.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Just clarifying. So here's Muggs on the red carpet of the Streamies, and this is him. You know how he likes to get the intro just right?
Sure.
So that he can set this thing up so that the K-Rock listeners know exactly what's going on.
What's up, party people? Beer Mug here live at the 2016 Streamy Awards right here at the Beverly Hilton. And we're going to go and interview. Who the f*** are you? What's up, party people? Beer Mug at the 2016 Streamy Awards at the Beverly Hilton. We're going to find out the most intriguing stars of social media. Find out about the most intriguing stars. We're going to interview some of the internet's biggest stars of social media. What's up, party people? Beer Mug here at the 2016 Streamy Awards at the Beverly Hilton. And we're going to interview some of the internet's biggest stars. So hold on to your hats, glasses, because this is the where we're going to interview some of the internet's biggest stars. So hold on to your hats and glasses, because this here is the wildest ride in the wilderness.
All right. Now, how is this the wildest ride in the wilderness?
I don't know. I had Disneyland on the mind.
It's odd.
It's one of my favorite parts of Beer Mug's interview is the intro.
Why would you think he goes with wildest ride
I don't know.
In the
I don't
wilderness?
Know where that, I don't know where that came from.
I don't even know where he got it from. I know it was from Disneyland, but for God's sakes, why in the intro for this?
So hold on to your hats and glasses, because this here is the wildest ride in the wilderness.
So people have to hold on to their hats and glasses.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
and
you're
that's,
saying.
And that's the one he settled on, right? And then he moved on.
Oh, that was the winner.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one where he went, nailed it.
Got it.
The Try Guys.
Yeah.
Explain them to us, Muggs.
Those guys started a YouTube channel where they go out and do things like they'll do American Ninja Warrior. Mm-hmm. They'll fight a UFC guy. They'll get stranded at sea and try to survive off of food.
So, Bean, what do you think Muggs asked them about?
Well, I would imagine the first thing I would think is to tell us about the most difficult challenge you've tried.
No, he asked them about himself. Like Muggs does.
Keith, Ned, Zach, and Eugene. Zach, Ned, Keith, and Eugene. You guys are awesome. You guys literally do stuff.
And by the way, miking them very well. Very well. Unless they're 100 yards away.
Yeah.
That was good miking.
That you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And I found out that you guys and I have a lot in common. Being that Kevin and Bean from K-Rock send me out to do similar things like...
Let me tell you a bunch of things that I do that have nothing to do with what you guys do.
I did American Ninja Warrior. You guys did American Ninja Warrior. Awful.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, I didn't even get past the first obstacle, and I was done. Yeah, I got a couple steps, but then I was in the water like that. I got beat up by an MMA fighter, and you guys did UFC, right?
Yeah.
Just give them a second to talk even.
No,
they're saying, yes, you got beat up by an MMA fighter, so did we, and you could have said, you know, which one of you, did you get knocked out? Let them talk at all.
They were so interested in what I was telling them.
Were they?
Oh, bad.
I don't know if you guys have done this, but I actually tried prison food. Like a concoction of like ramen, anchovies, and Flamin' Hot Cheetos. It was terrible. Tell the K-Rock audience what the Try Guys have in store in the future. Because your YouTube channel, you guys are sensations. It looks awesome. Tell us what you guys have in store in the future.
Yeah. Well, we just started.
And then he didn't mic him very well, so I just edited that out. Because we don't really
Why can't we hear any of the guests, Muggs?
It was so loud in there, guys.
You were heard quite well.
It was a wall of glass
right?
and tile. It
but,
was not a good room for
But you were able
acoustics.
To mic yourself.
Yeah, I was able to mic myself.
And how far were they from you?
2 feet.
Okay, so could you have just moved the microphone 2 feet?
You'd think so.
I would think so, yes. So he's still talking to the Try Guys, and he completely loses his train of thought, and he'll tell you why.
You guys are awesome, I got to tell you. I'm trying to think. I just got married this weekend, so.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
You too?
Yes.
Oh, congrats. Oh, our lives are over.
Life is just beginning.
You're right. What was I going to say? Oh. I was in a fog, you guys.
Our lives are over. And
yeah.
Then the Try Guys are like, no, dude, it's all right. It's just beginning. It's a new start.
They're talking you down, man.
Right? Yeah. So then he continues talking to the Try Guys.
You know what I did do? I had my butt steamed on live radio once. Steamed.
Steamed?
Like with herbs. I was sitting on like pretty much like a toilet with hot rocks of steam coming up into my bum.
Imagine people on the red carpet listening to this guy talk about him doing that to himself.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Why did you butt into a tea?
Yes.
Why did you do this? What was the hope?
Oh, it's good for hemorrhoids, which I don't have any of, but it's good for the anus. It's good for that.
This was the Smoshcast I was talking to. I just remembered.
Okay.
The Smoshcast now.
It's hard to tell because they didn't speak.
Right.
You didn't allow them to use words.
And, Muggs, you don't feel in any way that you perhaps overshared on the red carpet with Perfect Strangers, do you?
Never do I think that.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
You know what I noticed, guys? Not to go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
But I noticed that a lot of actors, when I'm saying...
By the way, Muggs' thoughts on actors is really fantastic. I mean, I think we may need to save this for quite some time. Because he really breaks it down.
What I noticed, guys, not to go off on a tangent,
yeah.
But I noticed that a lot of actors, when I'm, say, you and I are in a scene together, and I'm reciting my dialogue, a good actor will be reciting the dialogue that I'm saying.
Now, wait, you mean they're mouthing your words in a scene?
Right. So,
more importantly, how do you know that?
Because I've seen
how many scenes have you been in?
He was cut from Mike and Dave Get Married.
Thank
remember?
You, Bean. Thank you. And if you watch,
you know what I notice about acting?
If you watch most television actors or movie, mostly television, you could see the other actor mouthing the person who is speaking's dialogue.
Never.
At the same
okay,
time.
I don't think
yes.
that's
not.
Look
once.
It up. Look it up.
I feel like that's 0%.
Nope.
That never happened.
Right? Watch. You'll see. I'll find like 50 clips with that.
Yeah.
I'll blow your minds.
All right. 50 clips. Good.
Very, very subtly. So if I say, I love pancakes today, right when I say that, you'll be like, I don't know what it is. If you got, yes, it's weird. I don't know if that's good acting.
I thought that was bad acting.
Bad acting. Okay.
Muggs, it just doesn't happen.
I'll show you.
He's going to find 50 clips, Bean.
It happens all the time.
On what show?
I don't have the name of the show at the tip of my tongue, but I could find
a clip. Give
me
one actor who does that.
I would assume that it would be a mistake that they didn't catch. Listen to me. That they didn't catch. Like, maybe you would see that once in a while. But you don't see actors mouthing the other person's lines while they do it.
They do because that.
But here's the thing. No,
yeah, they memorize. They memorize.
It doesn't make any sense though, because if you're acting, you're pretending that this is a real life conversation that's happening in the world. And you don't know what the person in the room with you is going to say.
They do it very subtly.
Ah, I see. Subtly, with all your acting,
with all my acting
your
background,
history. Sure.
Yes.
Now Muggs is getting tired and hot, and he's really being tired. He's tired of being tired and hot.
I'm just a smelly radio guy with sweat dripping down my back right now.
Now, I'm going to say, do we need to know that?
No. Sure. It was hot in there, you guys.
Right.
It was.
Right.
You think Merv Griffin could pay the AC bill?
It's a good reference. Okay, here we go.
I'm just a smelly radio guy with sweat dripping down my back right now.
Do you have some?
Oh, okay. God. It's going. Is my back wet? You see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
What's happening? Oh. Is it possible that it could get worse from there? Yes.
And there's sweat dripping down my back right now, so I'm kind of embarrassed.
At least like you're comfortable. I'm trying not to breathe.
You'd think the Beverly Hilton would have AC, right?
Yeah, what is that all about?
I mean,
right?
What's that all about? You still don't feel that you overshare on the red carpet.
Bean, I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't overshare on the red carpet.
True.
Well, he thinks that's good, Bean.
Right.
This is not good. And finally, he's just standing around singing a song.
What's that, Los? Pretty girls everywhere. Pretty girls, pretty girls, pretty girls, pretty girls. Let's see some and some.
Right, everyone.
Right?
So there you have it, Kevin and Bean audience. Some of the brightest and most beautiful stars of the internet. Hopefully one day I, too, could become beautiful. And bright, and a star.
Not gonna happen.
I nailed it, though.
But
right?
You keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
We're gonna tell you about the next hot thing, which is jewelry for your beard, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Right?
Yeah, jewelry for your beard.
That's a thing.
Yeah, stop it's happening. Stop doing that.
Here's a report out of Fox 8, which seems to be a television station in North Carolina. Roy Ackland is the reporter doing the job. He's a nearly 30-year veteran of the channel, Kevin, and he has a very folksy delivery that I think you will find
great,
endearing and charming. Wait till you hear what a man in North Carolina did to his car. Here's Roy.
When Larry Hall drives his 2000 Chevy Blazer.
What do you think so far?
Is he 100?
I don't think he's quite that old.
I love him.
He's talking about Larry Hall and his 2000 Chevy Blazer.
He really gets attention. You might say it turns heads.
It is entertaining.
Look closely and you'll see that it's entirely covered in pennies.
It's entirely
what?
Covered with pennies.
Why?
Every metal surface of his car is covered with pennies.
Why?
51,300.
When Larry Hall drives his 2000 Chevy Blazer.
And he really gets attention.
I'm good
you
with that.
You might say it turns heads.
Yeah. It is entertaining.
Look closely and you'll see that it's entirely covered in pennies.
51,300.
Originally it was white. And he decided to change it.
Had to put them on one by one. And it took like 7 weeks, 6-7 hours a day. And it took 80 tubes of silicone glue and 3 gallons of fiberglass boat glue.
Okay, so why would you spend all of that time and all of that effort and all of those materials to cover your automobile with pennies, do you think?
I can't imagine. I don't know.
I'm trying to figure it out myself. I've seen the report and I'm trying to figure it out. Like, what would make you – I mean – you're driving a 2000 Chevy Blazer.
What did he say? 7 weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
7 weeks to put 51,300 pennies on his car. Is it a? He doesn't sound like he's a "Hey, look at me" kind of guy, but I can't imagine.
But why else?
Why else would you? I mean, it's troubling and it's puzzling, and I want him put down.
Well, it was supposed to have been all heads, but there's a very few on there accidentally got on their own tail somehow or another. But when you're blowing that many pennies, you're allowed to mess up at anything.
As you can imagine.
He certainly is amused by his pennies.
He
on the
sure
car, right?
is. They were all supposed to be heads, but what
all
are you going
to
do?
Heads.
It's a lack of dedication right there. You take right? it back off and you turn it around if it's a tails.
This did add several hundred pounds of weight.
Now, that's another thing, by the way. Yes, of
sure.
course it would add several hundred pounds of weight if you're covering your car with metal, essentially.
I think I like the reporter more than the guy that covers his car with pennies.
Wow.
Because
saying something.
He just sounds horrible slash fantastic.
He's crazy folksy. I feel like you're just begging for the worst gas mileage ever, right? By making your car
yeah,
that
I don't
much
think
heavier.
He cares, probably.
The hood is so heavy. That I had to prop it open.
Watch it when I let it go.
Now, sometimes if you slam the doors real hard, ooh, some of them jarred off. Let's see how many there. They will come off, but I have a little glue kit in there, and I just get another and put back on there.
So he carries a glue kit around in case any of his pennies fall off. He can put them right back
what
on.
What a terrible job this guy's doing.
It doesn't sound...
Where's the pride in your work?
It doesn't sound like a fun way to live either, does it?
No, it does not.
It's been quite an investment in time and money, but it's paid off.
I've enjoyed it since I got it done with it.
Larry says it made a lot of sense to change his Chevy into a Lincoln.
Yeah.
Roy Ackman. Fox 8 News.
So there you go. Now you've met Roy and you've met Larry, so please enjoy.
The new most interesting man in the world.
Welcoming back comedian, podcaster, director, writer, actor, all-around good guy, Kevin Pollak joins us in studio coming up at 7 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. That's going to be fun. He's got a new film out. Beard jewelry, guys, is a thing. Yeah, you heard me. Beard jewelry. And I get that jewelry evolves. I mean, there was a time where men didn't wear earrings very often. There was a time when nobody had studs in their lips or in their noses. I know that things evolve. Is beard jewelry likely to be a thing that's going to catch on, do you
think? I hope not.
What's your initial reaction when you see a guy putting what looks like a little pin or a little badge or a brooch or something like that right smack dab in the middle of his facial hair?
I would like to punch him right smack dab in the middle of his facial hair.
And where do you think that reaction comes from? Why does it bug you?
I don't know. It's just a hipster trying to be unique. It's too much look at me.
Kickstarter had a campaign for beard jewelry. They wanted $7,843. They have already in the first few days for beard jewelry made the money that they asked for. So they're at $9,100 so far, with most of the month still to go. So let's find out what the deal is with beard jewelry, shall we? We asked Dave if we could find somebody, and Stephen Credo from Credo Beard Jewelry behind the Kickstarter joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mr. Credo, how are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine, but I got to be honest. I never thought there'd be such a thing as beard jewelry that men would wear in their facial hair on their face.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we couldn't be more happy this all happened.
What's it all about?
It's about jewelry,
uh-huh.
and then you put it in your beard.
Right, right. Well, we knew that. We saw that. But
yeah, it's amazing, right? I mean, whoever thought that would be a thing?
Right, that's what we said.
And
but
now,
I'm curious.
On Kickstarter, we've already overmade our money.
Right. I feel like you could have said that better.
Maybe. That's possible. But it's incredibly cool. Everybody loves it. And it's amazing, and guys everywhere who are rocking sweet beards now have some styling jewelry right in the center.
Here's what it says on your Kickstarter. Designed for an individual who wants to not only stand out from the crowd, but to be ahead of the crowd.
Yeah.
If this is you, Credo will perfectly resonate with your inner desire for uniqueness.
You're going to say, oh, I was rocking beard jewelry before it was cool. And I'm not even going to wear it anymore because now everybody's doing it. But that's like in the future. You should wear it now.
You know, just because you're unique doesn't mean you're cool or good.
I beg to differ.
No, you could be just a straight dumbass.
Nope.
Look, if I started walking around with a road cone on my head, I would be unique.
Hold on.
Wouldn't that be great?
Down. road cone.
No, it's a terrible idea.
It's a great idea.
What I'm saying is you would have permission to kick me in the butt if that's what I did, because it's a terrible idea.
It's, first of all, a great idea.
Right.
And secondly, it's just, I'm going to add it to a list of many things. I'm going on Kickstarter for the Kratos design collection of amazing personal wear that will make you the coolest guy in Silver Lake.
There's other stuff beside the beard jewelry?
That was just the first one, went so amazing. Did I mention we overmade our money?
You did say that.
That I think the other ones are going to be equally successful.
Okay, right. So what are you working on besides?
Well, think when you're talking to someone in a social situation.
Right.
What do you see most when someone's talking to you?
You see their face. Their mouth.
Right. Let's zoom in. Let's get macro. Think macro.
Okay. Eyes. You're looking at their eyes?
Lower.
Mouth?
Mouth, yes. Keep going.
Teeth?
Right. And then behind that?
Tongue?
Tonsils?
Tongue tattoos. Right? Tongue tattoos.
Tongue tattoos.
You're talking to someone, you're like, oh, what is that fascinating design you have on your tongue? Oh, that's my tongue tat. Right?
I can't see very many people being comfortable with that.
I'll put you down for one.
I don't want one.
And also, we're going to be putting up knee-less pants.
Knee-less pants.
Knee-less pants from the people who brought you fingerless gloves.
Right.
Knee-less pants. I discovered this one day because I wear my pants so tight here in Silver Lake that I could not bend my legs.
Right, I see.
So I cut the knees out, and now I have knee-less pants, and needless to say.
Right.
Come on.
Needless to say.
Right.
They're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. They must look dumb, though.
They look amazing.
Really?
And then you could also get knee sweaters for when your knees get cold. Knee sweaters.
Separate from the knee-less pants.
Yes.
That's a lot of work.
We also have, for your enjoyment, anal slinkies.
Okay.
It's like a tail. Right.
It's a tail you carry around. It's a tail that goes boing, 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 boing.
Oh, I see.
And you put it in your anus.
So you just walk around with a toy coming out your butt.
Right.
That doesn't sound good.
How about penis beanies?
For when your penis gets cold?
Right. It comes with a ball hoodie.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Speaking of Weezer, by the way, their White Album, their most recent record, one of their best, I think. I still love that album, still listen to that album. They're doing a digital-only deluxe edition with four new non-album tracks tomorrow that's going to be available.
All right.
Including two brand new songs, one called Friend of a Friend, one called Fake Smiles and Nervous Laughter. So if you're a big Weezer fan, you definitely want to be checking that out tomorrow. They also have a song with Fits and the Tantrums on it. And Nadia from Pussy Riot is going to be featured on another song, one of the new four songs.
How about that?
So there you go. So more Weezer for you. That's tomorrow. You can look for that wherever you get your music. Ralph is here now. It's a Thursday morning. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do have a message for you guys from our buddy Eric Stone Street from Modern Family.
Okay.
Just sent me a little text. It said, please tell Muggs I'm about to start mouthing along with some scenes with Ed O'Neill. He loves that. So I guess Muggs is right. All the actors on television do just mouth the dialogue of the actor they're playing opposite in every scene.
That is awesome.
Why? Where do you think he got that from?
His ass, I'm guessing.
I mean, honestly.
Straight out of his ass.
So weird.
He said he was going to pull up 50 examples of it happening.
Listen, I am no... I am no TV star. I'm no regular actor. But I have some experience.
Yeah, you've been in a couple of dozen projects over the years.
And Eric Stone Street is.
Half a dozen feature films, couple hundred hours of television over the course of my career. Not once ever have I encountered it or myself done it.
It happens all the time.
It doesn't happen at all,
according
actually.
To Beer Mug, it happens all the time.
No,
he will
actor
give us 50 examples very soon.
Beyond the community theater level,
right,
would ever do a scene with another actor and then mouth along the dialogue while they are performing together.
Who's the expert, Eric, you, or Muggs?
Good point.
So Muggs, right?
Yeah, I
feel like we'll see Donald Trump's tax returns before we see that supercut from Beer Mug of actors
50.
Mouthing along.
There's going to be 50 clips.
in the supercut, and I'm looking forward to it for once. All right, let's talk about some show business news. Ah, sad news. Rod Temperton has passed away.
I was very sad about this news.
Figured you would be.
Let me guess then. If Bean was very sad, he must have been on the Weather Channel.
No, he was, I mean, the guy was a talented guy. He wrote a ton of hit songs, but sort of just not a very famous, sort of low level. He's sort of a trivia question answer guy.
Okay.
You know?
He preferred to be behind the scenes.
Rod Temperton, for example, wrote Michael Jackson's Thriller. That's a pretty good accomplishment,
just that.
Right?
Well, that's not bad.
Not too shabby.
Right.
For Michael Jackson, he wrote Rock With You. I want to rock with you.
Okay.
All night. George Benson, we worked with him. Give Me the Night. Give Me the Night. Sweet Freedom by Michael McDonald. Come on. Oh, sweet freedom, carry me away.
That alone, he's in my Hall of Fame.
Not for Thriller?
Nope. Sweet
All
Freedom.
Right. Sweet Freedom.
Okay. And Yamo Be There, by the way. Let's not discount
Yamo Be There.
Yamo Be There, he wrote.
Where's Michael McDonald now? Where is he?
He's still out there doing it?
He's the best. You go on the voice like a guy who's been screaming all night and just can't get anything else out. He was in the band Heat Wave also. He had two classic songs that he wrote for that band, Always and Forever. Always and Forever.
Right.
And Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights.
Now, let's not forget the groove line, by the way, Ralph.
Okay. You would probably think he would be African-American with that kind of pedigree. But actually, a white guy from England.
Is that right?
Yeah. In the early 70s, he answered an ad for a band that needed a keyboard player, and that band was the Multiracial Heat Wave. Then he started working with Quincy Jones, and, you know, next thing you know, Vincent Price was reading his rap.
Last
Y'all's Neighborhood. Yes,
last year, Rod Temperton and I chatted briefly on Twitter, and it was a big thrill for me to hear from the man.
That's
himself.
A great story.
Well, I was especially
I'd like
sad.
To buy the movie rights to that.
I was especially sad to see him die. Yeah. Because
you had one time last year, you tweeted him?
You didn't chat with him on Twitter, by
we
the
chatted.
Way. No,
we
you didn't chat at all.
Each other.
You exchanged tweets, but
we exchanged tweets.
You sound like the grandpa. I was talking to her on the Twitter.
Yep.
And then we had a conversation on the Snapchat.
Now, was it DM or was it just straight
no,
Twitter?
No, just straight
not
up.
Not even DM. Okay,
no,
great.
No.
I didn't know the man.
You didn't
I
follow him.
I'll
follow
you.
Well. Just straight up, just tweets.
He was just
You
very...
are good. I thank you.
He was very pleasant and very nice and was an enormously talented guy, and I'm sad to hear he died.
I'm sad that we're still
young.
Talking about him.
Oh, sweet freedom, carry me away. Michael McDonald, come on. Got well, such a long way to go.
You doing a one-man Michael McDonald tribute show this weekend?
Michael, exclamation point. Hope you'll all come see it.
Well, thank you for paying tribute to the man.
Well, just
to Bean's friend.
To your good friend.
Right.
No, I didn't say that. I'm not
once.
Pretending
I
to
chat with
known
on
him.
The Twitter.
Just saying. He was very, very nice.
Right. That song, Sweet Freedom, comes from a movie called... it's Billy Crystal, and it's the tap dancer.
It?
The tap dancer guy. Come on. The
yeah,
big
Gregory
tap
Hines.
Dancer, Gregory Hines.
Yeah,
they
I know the one
cops.
You're talking about.
It's a great movie. It's a great cop movie.
Is it called...
called Knights. Chicago Knights. It's called...
I don't think it's Chicago Knights.
Fight for your rights.
That doesn't ring
Come
a bell.
Come on. What's the movie, Kevin?
Freedom.
What?
Running Scared?
Running Scared.
Running Scared.
The movie, yes.
That was Muggs who came up with that, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. He's an actor. He's he's lipping along with some dialogue.
He Googled it.
Yeah.
Not available Running on iTunes either, by the way.
Running Scared. Sweet great thing. Film. If you ever get a chance to see it, check it out. It's a great cop movie. All right. Today's celebrity birthday. It's Jeremy Sisto's 42 years old today. Yon Griffith, who played Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movies. And he had a TV series, too, where he was this guy who lived forever. Remember that? He was a doctor who had many, many lifetimes. Is that ringing a bell? It was only lasted one season, but he was really
Running crazy. Scared.
Stop it. Elizabeth Shue. She's 53 years old today. Oh, sweet freedom, carry me away.
That's a pretty good impression.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
We could not be happier to welcome back our next guest, Kevin Pollak, stand-up comedian, podcaster, director, writer, actor. Hey, Kevin, how are you, man?
I feel like I should be juggling balls when you list off all those titles.
Well, you got a lot going on, man. You do a lot of things. What do you feel most like if you could only be one? Which one do you think in your mind you are the most?
I don't see how that's your business.
you know, on stage as a stand-up comedian is where I'll always be most comfortable, even more so than in life.
Do you think, really?
Yes.
Much more comfortable on stage than in your regular life.
Yes.
Just easier to say whatever you feel, and then people know you're up on stage being a comedian, so it doesn't matter?
Well, it might be a control issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have all the control when you're on the stage.
Yes. Everyone has paid to see me.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Life begins there.
Yeah, you're the king. I find that doing this show ruins outside of this show, because, like, if somebody's telling a boring story here, we'll just call them out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then you do it out in the world, and people just look at you like you're an a-hole.
It's like, yeah, sorry.
Different rules in real life.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it turns out.
Yeah.
I used all of the instincts from stand-up comedy. I think they served me better when directing this movie that I'm here for, because, you know, the comedian is the writer, the editor, the director, the choreographer, the performer. They're everything. They, like a boxer, you may have people in your corner, but when you step out in that ring, you're going to live and die moment by moment on your own wits and instincts.
Right.
That's how I felt directing this movie.
You directed this movie? Did you write it as well, Kevin?
Well, I might have done some rewriting, but there are unions that would prefer me not to talk about that.
Okay. Oops. Alleged?
Yeah, no, about six people had been attributed already when I arrived. So I just pitched the producers how I would like to do this script. And it involved doing a little fixing of the first
act. Isn't six people attached to a thing, isn't that usually a bad sign?
It's never a good sign.
Okay.
Yes. No, it meant it'd been in development for a long time.
Right.
And it's based on a true story about a guy who goes through puberty for the first time at age 30.
And by the way, you say that because you've said it a million times and it sounds like a normal thing. But let that sink in for our listeners. Imagine if you went through into adulthood, into your late 20s, and you had never gone through puberty.
Yeah.
And then something happened where you did.
Yeah.
Over the course of a few weeks, all of a sudden, all of those hormones are unleashed onto your body. And it's a true story.
Yes, that's freakish. So when I got the script written and rewritten so wonderfully, I thought, well, you've got this true story. So we all understand the comedy hijinks of the second act when they remove this benign tumor from his pituitary gland and testosterone is finally released into his body.
Right.
And he's like a werewolf. You know, he goes through all those things, but he's a fully realized adult in every other way. He's a PhD. He's, you know, so on. So I said, the second act is wonderful. We're going to, you know, there has to be a masturbation montage.
Of course.
I understand that.
Of course.
Yes. But
there should be in all movies, by the way.
Yeah. So I thought with the first act, we have to care about these people. So what we have, hopefully, and what I've been told is a sex comedy with a heart. Imagine.
Look, I love the fact this guy is a PhD, you said, and he's written books about how sex takes up too much energy and you should rechannel it. But the girl across the hallway he's in love with, but he can't do anything about.
Yes.
I love her.
Yeah, Brittany Snow. Yeah, how do you not?
Just crazy good.
Yeah, she's really, really steals your heart. She's the heart of the film indeed. Our lead, Johnny Simmons, certainly adds a tremendous amount of heart to J.K. Simmons as a father. That one scene between the father and son just rips out your heart and shows it to you before you die.
But but before that, the father is, he's so funny too.
Yes.
He doesn't have any idea what to make of his own son.
And how about Kumail Nanjiani and Beck Bennett?
I love
hilarious
so much, yeah.
Oh, they keep us afloat all the way through. And by the way, I would let them improvise certain scenes. And, you know, when you're laughing behind the monitor, they did a 17-minute version of a scene that's 90 seconds.
Holy
I just couldn't,
crap.
I couldn't stop them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're a director who likes to waste your people's time.
Oh, yeah.
Did somebody tap you on the shoulder and go, it's been about 17 minutes here?
Yeah. A few times.
Was the scene where one of the friends texts the other friend every time he masturbates, was that written in or was that
that was improvised.
Okay.
That bedside scene is the one I'm referring to.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need a burner phone for your penis. It's such a great line that Kumail Nanjiani improvised.
Had you worked with him before?
No.
I love him so much.
You know, we're both stand-up comedians. I've been on a stand-up show that he was hosting, I think, prior to that. And yeah, we knew each other from the microcosm of comedy.
So, Kevin, when you're behind the camera and you're directing, this is the voice of Kevin Pollak again on the Kevin Bean Show, talk about his new film called The Late Bloomer in select theaters and on demand tomorrow. And you should check it out. It's very, very funny. When you're behind the camera shooting all that, in your mind, are you thinking, oh my God, the poor sucker that has to edit this because I'm giving him 10 times more film than we can possibly use?
Well, that poor sucker is me.
So. I know that.
Yeah. So, well, Dylan King did a great job of the first assemblage, and then we had several.
The first assemblage. So somebody comes in and first gives you an edit that makes it 3.5 hours?
While you're shooting.
Okay.
Well, he's cutting while I'm shooting.
Okay.
Yeah. And that first edit, you've probably had other directors through here tell you, is the most difficult thing in the world to get through. But if you can and not jump off a bridge, then, you know, you just have to keep paring it down.
Speaking of paring it down, tell me how you made an hour and a half movie. That doesn't exist anymore. Everything is 2 hours. Every movie is 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3. Are you made a movie that's actually about an hour 33 or something like that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're an outlaw.
Well, it felt so good to not have to watch the 2 hour version of this movie. You know, comedy should have a great pace to it. And even when we inject some heart and some feelings, you know, you can't spend too much time on it. And as a comedian, again, my life has been about editing, get to the joke. So, it's just been ingrained in me, and I agree. There are certain filmmakers, we could never stop listing them.
All.
Yeah.
I mean, all, with some exceptions, but almost all movies are too long.
It's every now and then, you know, when someone says the Scorsese film doesn't need to be 3 hours, my feeling is, it does. I want as much of that as I can
get.
He's
an exception, all right.
Yeah, there's exceptions to every rule.
Kevin, let me ask you this. The man who went through this in real life, Ken Baker, who I
don't know him, Bean. I don't know why you're...
No, Kevin, the question is for our guest. I remember Ken Baker very well from the early days of watching him on the E! Channel as a correspondent on the E! Network and everything. How did his life turn out in terms of this? Did he eventually just adapt and adjust and everything is – like if you met him today, there'd be no indication that anything had ever weird happened with his testosterone, right?
There would be no indication. He has children and yes. So I met with him before we started shooting. I wanted to get a grasp of the actual human being who went through this. And, you know, as he tells the story, it's dramatic and very sad and very frustrating and agony-ridden and living, you know, a lie. Because you can't tell anyone when you haven't gone through puberty and you continue to mature. And you have to hide in the men's shower after gym and, you know, things like that.
But he's done the opposite, which is write a book and become an expert in all this stuff. Is that true of the real guy, too?
Yeah. Yes. Once Ken came out the other side of things, he has a book and it's being re-released using the title of the film, The Late Bloomer. And it really is an amazing story, quite frankly.
It really is.
Dr. Drew is crazy for this guy. Like, has him on every other week. Truly. He's an amazing case study.
Yeah. All right. We will take a very quick break. Our guest is Kevin Pollak here on The Kevin Bean Show. Again, the film in select theaters and on demand tomorrow is called The Late Bloomer. So funny, you guys. More with Kevin right after this on K-Rock.
Yeah, the Mighty Cardinals 1-3.
Woo!
Right where we want to be.
Are you talking football out of the blue all of a sudden?
Oh, no, there was a commercial for it, for Thursday Night Football.
Hey, okay. Speaking of sports, our friend Kevin Pollak is in studio here on the Kevin Amin Show. Are you on a high after that Giants win last night?
I am, even though I know the Cubs are going to destroy everyone in their path.
That is expected, yes. Yeah. But they are also the Cubs. So.
After our historical meltdown after the All-Star break, where we had the best record in baseball, I say we because, I don't know if you know this, I bought the San Francisco Giants.
Wow, I didn't realize.
Yeah. You hear a lot of fans say we, then I go for it.
Right.
I had to buy the team in order to say that.
Does that bother you? Because I say we all the time.
No, it doesn't bother
me. Okay.
I feel bad saying it. I feel like a poser saying
it. You should.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, whatever.
Unbelievable game last night.
It really was.
Madison Bumgarner is just, he's a baseball god, right?
Well, yes.
In October.
Yes. He also struggled this year, as the whole team did after the All-Star break. So, yeah, it's amazing. I went to high school with the pitching coach, Dave Rigetti, which I think I've mentioned before. So I have, you know, special rooting interest.
Well, I know we're not making any friends with our audience by talking up the Giants.
No.
But it was very exciting to see what happened yesterday.
It's very nice of you to say so. Let's move on immediately.
Let's move on.
This is how big a fan he is, though, Bean, is I've played poker with him before, and he will watch a game sitting on his phone while playing poker.
I respect that.
He'll have his phone out watching the game.
Yeah.
2 outs, man on third.
Meanwhile, it's to you.
Speaking of you boys playing poker together, and I think you'll be happy to to hear this, Kevin Pollak, and that is that Kevin is very tight-lipped about your celebrity get-togethers. He never breathes a word of all the horrific things you say about your fellow actors in Hollywood. But he did bring one tidbit back that I don't think you'd mind him sharing from your house.
I can't wait to hear
Kevin,
that.
you want to bring us up
Pick
to speed
it up
with
from
this? Because I'm fascinated by this.
At the beginning of going over to Kevin's house to play poker, I noticed that there were two giant pictures on the wall. How big are they? Like 3 feet by 5 feet?
In the poker room?
Yes.
Dining room?
Yes. On that wall.
Framed photos of people from yesteryear?
Of super old people.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, what a tribute. Like, is that a grandfather and a grandmother? A great-grandfather, maybe,
They look like British royalty.
Right.
Kind of.
It's really
European
impressive.
European royalty.
And I said, who is that? And he says, they're the pictures that came with the frames.
Yeah.
That's one of the weirdest things ever.
It really is.
Because of the size of it, especially.
We saw these frames came up at some auction that we were at, and they were ornate, and we're not ornate people. So we actually went against the grain to get these crazy frames, not knowing what we'd put in them, and so we brought them home.
Oh, so you didn't even have an idea when you bought them?
No, they were
just like the frames,
matching crazy gold leaf, ornate, ridiculous frames.
They dominate the room.
They really do. And after a while, it became incredibly funny and stupid to my better half and I that we leave the ancient-looking European royalties that are in the frames.
All said, they came with the frames, and I was like, is he messing with me?
But it is a fun parlor trick and game to play, which is to ask people, do you think those people in the photos are from Jamie's side or mine?
Oh, good.
And people really take time with it. You know, they take that game very seriously.
Trying to figure it out, yeah.
And the last thing they want to hear is neither they came with the frames.
Which is great. But the first thing I thought is the sad people, and maybe I've only seen this in movies, I don't know if it happens for real, but the sad people who buy frames at a store to put on their mantle because they don't have any friends, and they're always such attractive people in the photos that it looks like you've got a great social life with all those young people having fun.
These are not attractive.
No, I don't feel like this fits that bill.
These are not attractive.
This is the voice of Kevin Pollak on The Kevin Beach Show. We'll get back to talking about his film in a minute called The Late Bloomer in select theaters and on demand tomorrow. You're still doing the podcast, Kevin?
Yeah. The chat shows.
As time permits?
Yeah.
Very much so.
We just had, I don't know if you guys got caught up in the Stranger Things phenomenon.
Yes.
But we had Sheriff Hopper, the actor David Harbour.
Love him so much.
We've had him on the show, too.
Yeah.
He's wonderful.
He really is terrific. Also came to the poker game.
I wasn't there that night.
Was kind enough to take a few dollars away. So still doing it and having fun and still, you know, very much interested in other people's journeys as hard as it is.
Is there anyone that you are starstruck by that you had the opportunity to interview? Because it happens to us all the time. But I feel you're such an accomplished person that it wouldn't happen to you as much.
Yeah. No, I'm still that guy who shows up on the set of any movie I've been hired to act in. Waiting for somebody to tap me on the shoulder and say, we've made a horrible error, we meant Kevin Spacey. B, I'm around these giant Mount Rushmore actors and actresses, and I am intimidated and a fan, first and foremost.
Do you speak to – is it easy for you to speak to them?
You know –
because there are some people who I see, and I'm just like, you know what? I like them too much, and I feel like I'll make an ass out of myself, so I'm not going to say anything.
It's exactly how I treated Jack Nicholson on A Few Good Men, even though we were technically co-stars, and everyone else could talk to him. And he was also wildly gregarious and open and approachable, and yet he was such an icon to me, I left him alone.
And how long did it take you to film that movie?
I would think he was 3.5-4 months.
Right. So I would think like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Okay, leave him alone for that.
We ended up having a couple of conversations, but I would just leave him alone. You know, in the morning.
He must have thought you were a jerk.
He must have.
Oh, that guy's an ass. He doesn't talk to anybody on the set.
Or he's used to idiots treating him that way.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But I mean, the first thing in the morning, you go in the hair and makeup truck, a long trailer with barber chairs, and you go in and they try to make you look better. So I would go in, I'd see him already seated, and I'd go to the far end, leave him alone. Kiefer Sutherland's in the movie, a couple of scenes. He would have no problem talking to Jack. He'd walk right up to him, hey, Jack, you want to get a beer after work today? And Jack would say, that sounds great, Keith. What time do you suppose that ought to be? And I'd say, that looks easy. Why can't I go do that?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
You never did?
We eventually did, yes, okay. Of course. Yeah, we had some great conversations. But it usually started by him because I wanted to leave him alone. It was just so weird. I don't know.
All right, now I'm gonna ask a question that calls for a personal opinion because I respect you as a comedian and as an actor. Is Albert Brooks the funniest man in the world?
He is to me, you know.
Because he is to me, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those guys, when I impersonate him, I actually think faster and funnier in his voice than my own. And that's certainly a litmus test.
That's a weird thing.
Yeah, but I would say watch Modern Romance and Lost in America.
I just saw The Muse again recently, and I forgot how great he is in that movie.
Yeah.
You can't take your eyes off him. He's incredible.
Yeah, I vote yes on that.
Have you interviewed Mr. Brooks?
We talked on the phone. You know, people were after him to get to be on podcast very early on. And because
he's the dream guest.
Yeah, we hadn't talked on the phone. We'd only talked in person. I didn't have his digits. And he actually DM'd me on Twitter and said, what's your number? I'm going to call you. Because I was kind of hassling him and then got offended one day when I wasn't getting the proper response on Twitter. And I just said, my apologies, sir. I will leave you alone this day forward.
Is that right?
And he DM'd me and said, what is your problem? Seriously, give me your number. Let's be done with this. And I called him because he had a book out, right? At 2030 or something it was called.
Right.
And he said, listen, I went on Adam Carolla's show because the publicist set it up and I didn't even know what it was before I got there. Okay. I don't like talking about myself contrary to belief, and I don't even know what a Nerdist is. I'll never forget those
words.
Did you
feel terrible for that tweet then?
Of course I did. Yeah. Of course I did.
It was also
this is like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, so it was very early on in the Twitter process for me as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're heroes and they're people who come on and
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear you don't get jaded to the point where you're not excited or impressed by people.
No, never, ever, 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 ever. Yeah.
And now that I've heard your impression, we're going to pretend we have Albert Brooks on and have you back another day, and you can just be him for the hour.
Oh, and let's not wait till April 1st.
And then Nicholson.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll just do a monthly thing.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time. Let's get back to the late bloomer because I have a clip that I want to play. For folks who weren't with us in the first segment, the film directed by Kevin Pollak is based on a true story of a guy who does not go through puberty until he's in his late 20s, and then it hits it all at once. And I'm not familiar with Johnny Simmons, your star, who plays Dr. Peter in the movie. He's very good.
He's great.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's been in a lot of indies, Jennifer's Body and Perks of a Wallflower, a whole lot of stuff. But
he's Birbiglia-esque, I would say. Is that fair?
Not according to Kevin Pollak's face.
I meant that as a compliment.
No, I know you did. I know you did.
Smart guy.
And I like Briggs a lot. I don't see it, but sure, it's a compliment. I'll take any compliment. I'm an idiot.
His parents are played by Maria Bello and J.K. Simmons. And
yeah.
He has just come downstairs, and unbeknownst to him, he is sporting at almost 30 years old his first ever erection. And this is what's great about this movie. Listen to the reaction of a man's parents seeing his first erection.
Oh my God! Flame has erupted!
Touchdown! Hopes he can put out an eye with that one. It's like he's got the Sunday Times rolled up in there.
Don't be embarrassed.
Embarrassed? Be proud, young man. Take a victory lap.
There's a lot of excitement over that first erection, that's for sure.
Little tribute to a moment from the original Ghostbusters when...
We got one?
We got one, yeah.
Very funny movie, Kevin.
Thank you guys very much. I really appreciate that you saw it and all of that. It makes a great deal of difference for someone like me to come in and talk about it and that you liked it. I've lost all objectivity, so I count on the sincerity of friends, and I consider you both that. So
it's the late theaters, in theaters, and on...
Yeah,
I was going to say that.
It's in.
Okay, you go.
But in theaters on the bench bar.
Okay,
but late bloomer.
Bye, Mr. Pollak.
Thank you, guys. Bye. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. If you want to call.
Oh, are we doing that?
Yes.
All right.
Have you looked at the schedule? That's
I have not.
Next. Yeah, 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to talk about movies or TV or stories that we're missing, something we're not talking about, you could be part of the show right now. You call. We will put you on the air next.
We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome at 8 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, like we do on Thursdays. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us later as well. First, though, time for your phone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067.
800-520-1067. This one's called What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Kevin Pollack and Kevin Ryder were telling a story about some pictures on the wall in Pollack's house that are beautiful frames, but he just left the stock photos that came with them in there. And we thought that was a little bit of a surprise. You don't see that very often. Usually you buy the frame because you want to put your own artwork or photos in there, right? So I readily admit that Laura on Line 5's call from Granada Hills may be bad, but I want to give it a try because I'm interested to see where this leads.
All right, good. So the starting call you're worried about.
I'm a little bit nervous that Laura is not going to deliver, but I'm going to try to have some confidence in
it. Laura Bean has faith in you. What's good?
Hey, good morning. So my uncle was married. He got married 9 years ago. And when he moved in with his new wife and her children, he unpacked all his family photos and stuff, and apparently, he put a photo of me out on the staircase, and for 9 years, his wife thought that he had just left the stock photo in there, the black and white
what?
Of me. His wife thought that it was just a stock photo that came with the frame, and so did his children.
They had no idea that you were a relative of their dad.
No idea, for 9 years. And then in January, I came to visit, and his 18-year-old stepdaughter was like, "Oh my God, that's you! I thought that was a stock photo," and
that's
it
weird.
Was really awkward. I'm like, really? In 9 years, you didn't know what I looked like?
Yeah, it does. It's also weird that at no point nobody asked, like, who are these people in the photo, and then he could have, you know, pointed it out.
Yeah, I feel
were.
Like that's on your uncle.
I think so too.
Right? You didn't talk about me in 9 years. The worst part about it, though, is that it was actually a photo of me with my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, good.
And it was a black and white, and you know, we're looking at each other. And it's very romantic and all, and so it was a great reminder 9 years later.
Well, that's very awkward in every way. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Laura. Let's go to Calabasas. Line 7, please. This is going to be Josh. He's got a follow-up on our conversation about the San Francisco Giants a moment ago. Hey, Josh.
Morning, fellas. How are you guys today?
We are good. We're talking to Kevin Pollack, who's a lifelong Giants fan.
Yeah, I'm also a diehard as well.
Went are you?
Game 2 of the World Series in 2012, I just want to say thank you to those Dodgers fans for letting those sneaky Giants get in, and here we are making that October magic happen again.
Well, I mean, you do have to get past the Cubs, which is not going to be easy, but the Dodgers have to get past the Nationals, which is also not going to be easy, but if both of those things happen, you'll have a chance to see the Dodgers and the Giants playing again. The rivalry will continue.
Yeah, hopefully.
And then, if the Dodgers win, I would like you to call back as well.
Oh, absolutely, and I'll be calling back if the Giants win as well.
I don't care about that. Thank you for the call. By the way, I know it is a historic rivalry that has been going on for decades, but it has been very tough for Dodgers fans in recent years because they haven't been to the World Series since 1988, and the Giants have won 3 in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think so everyone's aware of that.
It's a little bit of a lopsided rivalry right now.
Right.
It's like when Dave tries to smack talk you as a Lakers fan because he's a Clippers fan. Sometimes it's tough, right? All right, you want to go to Victorville, Line 3? Andrew's got a clown update for us.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. So the clowns are in the high desert.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't know that it's good news, Kevin.
I don't know. We've seen a couple of them come in. We had one that I've personally seen just standing there, and then another one that I saw chasing people.
All right, being recap for people who aren't paying attention to the clowns worldwide, what's going on?
There's no. That's it. That's the extent of the recap. Is that clowns are popping up in cities all over the world? Although so far most of them have been in America, and nobody knows if there's any commonality to it. If it's just people who are just copycatting other people, there are those who are still suggesting that it's all promotion for the upcoming Pennywise movie remake. What do you think, Andrew, is going on with all these clowns?
I think it's a lot of stupid people being on the largest bandwagon we've seen to this date. Just being stupid.
So
like a dab. Just an infection.
Okay. So in other words, there's somebody who's waking up today who's got time on his hands who says, you know what would be really funny is if I dressed up like a clown and then just walked around the outskirts of town and looked creepy.
That would be so. I mean, you know what, though? I kind of have to relate. When I was little, I used to dress up as a Dementor from Harry Potter, and I would sit inside the couches at Target pretending I'm a mannequin, and I'd get up and scare people.
I
I like your style.
So I can kind of see where the clouds are coming
I'm
from.
I'm done with that. You win.
That is fantastic. All right. Thank you for the call. All right. Do we want to take that one more that always tanks the segment? Or
sure.
Or are you just going to say goodbye now?
No, let's try it.
All right. You choose today. Which one do you like?
Oh, man.
Which one do you have the least faith in?
I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. Let's go to Cash.
All right. Let's try Cash.
Cash.
He's in the Redlands.
Hi there, Cash. What's good?
Hey. Just wanted to call to talk about the Get Down on Netflix.
Yes, this is, for folks who don't know, this is Baz Luhrmann, the guy who did Moulin Rouge and so many other great movies. It's a TV series that he did for Netflix, and it's all about the rise of hip-hop, right, in the late 70s, early 80s in New York.
Yeah, it's. I think it got kind of swept under with the tidal wave of Stranger Things.
Right.
Oh, but I don't know if, like, Baz Luhrmann's name's on it, and I know he does the pilot episode. But I don't know that he directs all of them, but you can tell on the first one, there's just some shots that are really great.
Is it a series that we need to catch up on or no?
Well, it's Netflix, so it right. all came out. You know,
I know. I'm saying, is it worth going and finding and watching all of the episodes?
Oh yes.
It definitely. Is, okay.
Most definitely. It is about the rise of hip-hop in all aspects. Not just, like, the music aspect, but, like, the, you know, the...
Yeah, the fashion and the graffiti and the breakdancing and everything. All right, last question for you. Does Jaden Smith ruin it?
Oh.
Okay. Now, yeah, no, he does not. And actually, like, when I saw that he was in it, it got me a little hesitant. But...
I'm sorry, your phone's cutting out. The question was, does Jaden Smith ruin it?
No, he does not. And
I can't hear him. Can you hear him, B? thanks for calling, Cash. This has been What's Good. What's Good? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:51. Jim Rome joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and then we'll be talking about Halloween traditions. I wonder if there's a song that we can play
nope.
that's kind of related to Halloween.
No, I'm sorry. I can't think of
anything. Oh, sweet freedom, carry me away.
And more of our continuing tribute to the great Michael McDonald, apparently,
yes.
on today's show.
Here's people are demanding McDonald the
no
hit.
No one is.
They're asking for McDonald the hit.
Zero people
for our
are.
Next game.
That's just not true.
Minute by minute by minute. By minute, I'll keep going on.
He did have one of the weirdest lead voices.
Very
ever.
Strange. Yeah.
It's like what Fog would sound like if it could sing.
Mr. Bad Example.
No, that's not bad.
It's what Fog would sound like if it could
yes,
sing.
Yes, because
I'm going to have to spend
thick.
Some time with that one. I'm not positive that I can work that
it's
through.
It's kind of thick and dense and kind of hard to make it through. No. Okay.
I mean, you said it's what Fog would sound like if it could sing.
What else is going on, Ralph?
Just stop it.
Nothing. You stopped it. You just stopped it. You stopped everything with you. Hey, we have a date now for Ocean's 8. Ocean's 8, for those who don't know, is the all-female remake of Ocean's 11. But now it's 8. Because
right.
women only make 73% of what men make. So
oh, I see.
Naturally,
I
they get less. They don't get the full 11. They only get 8.
They have to steal less as well?
Nice work, Kevin.
I get it.
June of 2018. Circle your calendars. June?
I'm sorry?
2018.
You mean next June. You mean June of 27.
No, you're not listening to me. June 2018.
No, we heard you say that, but that's a mistake.
June 2018 will be the release date for Ocean's 8. So
okay.
We finally have a release date for that.
Isn't that like a year and 8 months away?
Yes, Bean.
Wow,
yes.
You're good.
Okay.
Nothing
See,
remember, gets past you.
Remember when you said you meant next summer? I feel like that point was made.
It comes from somewhere back in long ago. Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Rihanna, Helena Bonham Carter, Mindy Kaling, Sarah Paulson.
I'm interested.
Awkwafina.
The drink?
The water?
No, Awkwafina.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Who's what?
Awkwafina.
The water?
Oh, man.
That's an actress's name?
Open up a blog.
Okay.
About water?
It's spelled... A W K, W A F I N A.
Open up a blog,
right? So now you know. Hey, everybody's talking about politics and stuff, you know, because of the big election coming up in November.
There's an election,
and television, you know, plays a big part.
the debates, of course, televised. We were talking about how the fact that it was only about 20.3 million viewers tuned in for that vice presidential debate. But we're not talking we're not taking local, late breaking and live
okay.
the way we should. Did anyone catch Loretta Sanchez and Kamala Harris debating for the Senate seat last night on television?
No. I saw that it happened. I did not see any of it.
You didn't see Kevin Loretta Sanchez dabbing at the end of the debate?
No, she didn't.
When she dabbed?
No, that didn't happen.
When she did turned she dab? And dabbed at she the did? End of her last statement? When she dabbed up on stage?
That's awesome.
Right now yes. you should be watching. Now you want to watch.
When
it
is
was
that,
the weirdest when is thing I've ever seen. It was the weirdest damn thing I'd ever seen.
I'd like politicians to start dabbing.
She
I like that.
Seems a little crazy to me, actually.
Yeah.
Loretta seems a little crazy. But she was on fire, and then she just was up there on stage and just, boom, dropped the dab. What's happening? This is politics. These people are supposed to be better than us. They're supposed to have
really?
Some sort of
they're not
decorum and at least a facade of civility and panache.
Wrong. Wrong.
At least they used to pretend
yeah.
to have at least a veneer of some sort of
does it make
sophistication.
Me, does it make me bad that I like her because she dabbed?
Of course it does.
Yes, it does.
Okay. She's well, trying so be to be it. A senator for the United States of America.
Yeah, I don't really care. But she dabbed, I'm in.
Are you going to vote for her now, Kevin?
Sure.
Find it online. She looks like an ass.
It's a really bad dab, too. So definitely.
Is that your real problem?
Definitely want to check that out.
Not well executed?
She's no Cam Newton. I'm just telling you
isn't
that.
Isn't it about a year past when dabbing was a thing, too?
Yes. I don't think Cam even dabs anymore.
He doesn't. All he has time for now is badly losing football games.
Oh, come on now. And Susanna Hoff is currently one of the judges on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. She was a dancer on that show. And then she left to pursue her acting career, and she had done Grease Live, and she was in the remake of Footloose.
You said Susanna Hoff. So is that who you meant?
Oh, did I say Susanna yeah. Hoff?
That's yeah. why I'm confused. I had no idea.
Julianne Hoff. Sure, oh, I didn't okay. say Julianne Hoff?
You did. You said Susanna. From the Bengals, yes.
Oh, no, that's a different person.
Okay,
this is Julianne Hoff.
Gotcha.
Wrong.
Who's currently one of the judges on Dancing with the Stars. She was the one who did all those things.
And sang Eternal Flame, right?
No, that's my point. It's a different one.
And dabbed.
She didn't dab.
Oh, all right.
She came from somewhere back in her long ago.
I want a diagram of this showbiz beat.
Such a long way to go. She is going to be on Speechless. Are you guys watching the Speechless Minnie Driver's new show, Speechless?
I have not seen it, no.
All right, I got nothing to say to you, though.
I haven't either.
I like that show. It's good. Watch it.
I've heard great things about it. I
it's
haven't,
very
you can't watch them all.
A fresh take, you know, about a family with a kid with special needs, and it's... you wouldn't think it necessarily be a source for comedy, but it's very human and very real and fun, and I enjoyed it.
Ralph, you have the same problem we do. It's impossible to keep up on all the shows.
But
I
just
still
watch one!
But I want to see
watch
Timeless,
one
and I want to see
half
Frequency.
An hour watching.
There's a lot on TV right
but
now.
Just watch.
You don't have to watch everything.
You should sample.
I mean,
it's a new fall season. You should jump
I
around and sample.
I've been watching
well,
the new...
watch it!
I can't watch
just
it all.
Just watch it! You guys been watching New Girl since it's been back? Very funny.
I've recorded, haven't watched it
very
yet.
Funny. All right, Dave Sanchez. You can watch this
no, I'm
30
actually
seconds
watch
in
it,
the
though.
Beginning and
nope.
30 seconds in the middle.
I'll actually watch that series.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeremy Sisto is 42 years old today. Jan Griffith.
Huh?
He's 43. Jan Griffith. And Elizabeth Shue. Getting a lot of support. A lot of people agreeing with my longtime crush on Elizabeth Shue. Many people like me have been loving her for a long time.
Mm-hmm. She's a pretty lady.
It's beyond pretty. She's adorable. Go, you watch Adventures in Babysitting and watch her sing into her hairbrush just for the first, just 10 minutes. I defy you not to fall head over heels in love with her.
What are you angry about?
Watch it!
She has two vaginas.
No, she doesn't. She's true. Perfect. She's got all everything in the places where it should be.
She's a bitch.
She came from somewhere back in my long ago.
He's visiting Michael McDonald.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock.
It's the best 7 minutes of the week here on the show as Jim Rome checks in from the jungle, jimrome.com, to hear his show from 9 till noon weekdays. And, of course, the new Jim Rome Daily Jungle podcast available from play.it and iTunes. How are you, Mr. Rome?
Best 7 minutes of my entire life. Who is here and who is not? Let's get a little roll call right quick.
Allie McKay.
Bean, present.
Waited.
Present.
Yes.
Yes, present.
Sanchez, don't give a damn.
Present, Chip, what's up? In the room. Chip,
yep. Where's Allie?
She's not. She's
sick.
She called in.
She's not.
Bean doesn't believe it, but she
I don't believe it. Calling it sick. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you're
when was the last time you called in sick, Jim?
Never. Next time will be the first time.
Okay. I'm with you, man. I respect that. Respect
Can't
it.
Do that. Can't do that.
Hey, there were every year around this time, there are those who complain about playing 162 days of baseball, and then it boils down to one play-in game. You're the wild card team with one play-in game to join the eight in the playoffs. Good idea, bad idea.
Nobody's complaining about that anymore, right? I mean,
well,
I used to be one of those guys
week, yeah.
who thought, I mean, maybe it's not fair for 162 games to come down to just one game, except the two games we've had this week are two of the best games you're ever going to see. So if you're still complaining about that, you should stop. Last night was awesome. The night before was just as good, if not better. The wild card's actually an awesome thing. I love that format.
All right. So Rome is down for the keeping it the way it is then. No complaints there. How do you feel about the Dodgers and the Nationals starting the NLDS tomorrow? It's finally here. Dodgers playoff baseball for the fourth season in a row. Is it going to end better for us this time around?
It better, right? It better. It is now or never because they've won the NL West 4 years in a row, but they have not advanced to the World Series in any of those years. So winning the division 4 years in a row is pretty damn good, but not good enough. Not in this town, not for a team with the highest payroll in baseball, and not for the L.A. freaking Dodgers, who have not won at all since 1988. They've got to find a way. It is now or never. Get it done. Get it done.
Now, when you say now or never, if it doesn't happen, are they starting to trade and make big moves?
And when I say now or never, what I'm doing is just throwing a hot take at you.
Okay, all right.
Now or never. Now or never. If they don't get it done now, they never will. No, what I'm saying is this is L.A. We're getting tired of this.
Yeah.
They have too much of a payroll. They've got too much history. I can't promise you they'll get there. I'm saying that it's not good enough in this town just to win that division every single year.
Do you think there's something wrong with Clayton Kershaw in the postseason? Or has he just been unlucky? Just some bad breaks?
I think it's more of that. The postseason is always going to be a crapshoot. And, I mean, let's face it, this guy's one of the best ever. And for whatever reason, he has struggled in the postseason. But I think because of who he is and as good as he is, it's only a matter of time. This guy is way too good. He's way too nasty. He's way too filthy. Hasn't been at his best. Hasn't had the best luck. But I think this is the time he breaks through. But that first matchup with Max Scherzer in game one is going to be awesome. Scherzer is a pretty disgusting fellow, too.
I was going to ask.
Guys, don't sweat the Nats. Don't sweat the Nats. The Dodgers have beaten them 5 of 6 during the year. The Nats are banged up. They're bringing in Adam LaRoche and his son to throw out the first ball in game two. That should tell you all you need to know about their history. The guy who quit his job because they wouldn't let his kid hang out in the clubhouse. So do not sweat the Nats.
All right, that one is a win. I was worried about them until you put it in that perspective.
Don't
I do
be.
Feel better. Thank you, Jim.
Don't be. It's all good.
All right, let's switch gears to football. The return of Tom Brady. It should be a holiday on Sunday when we get to see our boy play again for the first time in this season.
Why is he our boy?
Because America loves Tom Brady.
Why is our boy?
What the hell?
Because he
when
is
did he
the
become
most,
our boy?
He's not
because
our boy.
He's the most popular football player in the country. That's why. Am I wrong?
Is that a hot take? There's your hot take.
Nobody.
There's your hot take.
Bean, you're wrong because nobody thinks that way. Nobody goes, hey, that's the best player. I'm going to root for him. You have your team.
Look, yeah, of course you have
your team. About the Patriots.
Of course you have your team, but the same way people tune in across the country because they want to see Stephen Curry or they want to see LeBron James, people want to see Tom Brady play football. Am I wrong about that?
Y'all just keep throwing haymakers. Just stand in the middle of the ring and just punch each other in the face. This is good.
All right.
Bean, you're losing this round.
All right, how about this? How great would it be if the Patriots lost to the Browns?
It'd be awesome. That would never happen in a million years. That'd be the greatest thing ever.
But it would
that
be
would
the greatest.
Never happen.
I know,
you know
but
why? Because But
right.
How great would it be if I were a foot taller and I can run a 4.0 40 and make millions of dollars a year to play quarterback? It'd be awesome. But my favorite part about this is this four-game suspension from Goodell. Man, that's no punishment. That was the best vacation that Brady's ever had. This dude's naked tanning in Italy, chilling back on campus in Michigan, and spending the rest of his time stewing in his own rage. The league just did him a favor. He's 39. They saved him the wear and tear of 25% of the season. That was a vacation. Instead of hating on Goodell, he should be thanking him. And the best thing of all, the only thing better than them losing to the Browns would them be winning the entire thing and Goodell having to give him the Lombardi Trophy.
That would be pretty strong.
I think he'd like that very much.
How restricted was he from, obviously they can't stop a guy from working out, but he couldn't do any kind of organized training, couldn't have any kind of contact with the club at all. But has he been doing some of that training on his own, or has he literally just been sitting on the beach for 4 weeks?
Oh, no, this guy's obsessed. This guy's one of those weird dudes that like doesn't even eat tomatoes. Like if I eat a tomato, I'm like, yeah, man, I'm Tony Horton. I'm the most fit guy in the world. He doesn't even allow himself to eat tomatoes. So trust me, he's getting his work in. He's doing his homework. But most of all, what the guy's doing is he's just getting more and more bitter, and he is stewing in that rage. There's this great quote. Mike Freeman writes for Bleacher Report. He's a buddy of ours. He's got coaches saying things like, thanks, Roger Goodell. Brady's going to kill us. Quote, Brady scares the bleep out of me. And on and on and on. So not only was he getting his work in, he was just getting more and more bitter every single second. And that makes him a really dangerous dude.
Talk to our friend Jim Rome from the Jim Rome Show, jimrome.com, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. One more football question for you, and that is, what do you do with a guy like Odell Beckham, who has been a great player over the past couple of years, but now says the game just isn't fun for him anymore? How do you mentally help him?
Yeah, that's going to go pretty well, right? Telling the fans that playing football is not fun anymore.
Yeah.
For those who don't remember, this is the guy who made the freaky one-handed grab that had the whole world tripping. He was a beast. He had that crazy hair. He had the vibe. He was the guy. But he did snap again. And instead of getting in front of his teammates and saying, I'm sorry, I become a distraction, I know you're sick of answering questions about me, it'll never happen again, he doubled down. He told ESPN, I don't enjoy playing football anymore. Yeah, that's cool, bro, because we really don't enjoy watching you play football anymore. I'm pretty sure most of his teammates don't enjoy playing football with him anymore. This dude's gone from alpha to diva to baby to unstable. So how do you handle this guy? You know what they need to do? Tough love. They got to pull this guy aside and say, look, you're killing us. Get a grip. Get a hold of yourself. Or we're not putting you out there. Until somebody does that, there's no incentive to change. We'll just keep being the diva that he is.
Do they have the management to pull that off?
Yeah, of course they do. I mean, Tom Coughlin, I would say Tom Coughlin would have never tolerated that. That guy was the ultimate disciplinarian. And the other thing, it's not just the management. You need guys in that locker room
right. Who
have got the wherewithal to get in his face and say, dude, listen, you're an unbelievable player and we need you, but we're not having this. Stop crying on the sideline. Stop throwing your helmet into the kicking net and stop making it about you. Hey, you guys know when Sanchez does those things at work, what do you guys do?
Yeah, we hate him. We hate him.
Related to the Odell Beckham Jr. story, you're talking about the Giants game against the Vikings a few nights ago. How do you feel about the NFL's calling of unsportsmanlike conduct penalties this year? Do you think they have been fair and even, or do you think it's impossible to know what's going to draw a flag?
It's getting tougher and tougher. Still the hardest thing in the world to figure out is what's a catch and what's not a catch. But
yes.
The second hardest thing is what can you do and not do after you catch a touchdown? Can you twerk? Can you gyrate? Can you
bow and arrow?
Junk? Can you bow and arrow?
What?
I mean, really, you can't bow and arrow?
What's wrong?
No fun league.
Seriously, what is wrong with the NFL? Why wouldn't they let them just celebrate?
They want everybody to act the same and look
Why?
The same and
what?
Be uniform. I have no idea. I have no idea. You've got guys flying around, knocking each other out. Why would you want to legislate the emotion out of the game? If you want to make the game safer, that's fine. But stop taking the emotion out of the game. Let these guys do what they do. Let them play.
I agree. 9
we
to noon
like
today and every weekday from JimRome.com. And don't forget the Jim Rome Daily Jungle podcast is available from his website, also play.in and iTunes, which is the best of the show from that day with the best takes and interviews and calls and sound bites and so much more. Great time today. As always, Jim, we'll see you next week. Thank you, sir.
Best dudes ever. See ya.
Thank you, man.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 8.
The listeners have demanded it, Kevin.
Come on, baby.
You lose again this year.
Halloween.
Things are gonna happen.
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
No!
Halloween spooks outside my window.
You guys,
Halloween spooks.
You guys like it?
Down the tree.
You guys like?
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Yes, Kevin, your question, please.
Honestly, you guys like it?
because I hate it so much.
No, we like it because it's awesome.
And listen to what Ralph's doing. And what Ralph's doing is not out of character for this song.
They're just being silly. They're making ghost sound effects. It's fun.
I'm saying you don't like that. I'm not buying it.
It's tradition.
I don't believe that you like it.
It means Halloween.
Turn it up. I don't believe you like that.
Because these are witches and they're ghosts. And they're
spooky. Oh, I didn't realize that. Thanks, Bean.
Well, they're being Halloween.
It's Halloween-y, Kevin. Not really, though.
It is.
Look, a lot of our listeners, and we heard this so much yesterday. Ralph, I'm sure you saw it on your social media as well. A lot of our listeners, it is not the Halloween season until they hear Halloween Spooks. That's
right.
The kickoff of the
right.
season for them.
So, so they've got it now.
It's the reason for the season, as they say.
And that's why we wanted to talk about Halloween traditions, because it is one of those holidays that we all love that comes around once a year. And everybody's got different ways of celebrating. And this kind of came up in the meeting after the show yesterday. Ralph, you were talking about something that you do every year that you really look forward to with your family.
I think Halloween may be my favorite holiday of the year.
Even more than Christmas. All right.
Yeah. Has been since I was a kid. I look forward to Halloween almost, if not more, than I did Christmas when I was a kid. And as I got older, it certainly pulled ahead. Because Christmas is just a big pain in the ass, really, for the most part, right?
Really?
But Halloween is awesome.
How is Christmas a big pain in the ass?
Oh, there's shopping and decorating, the pressure, peace on earth, blow me, right? Right? Halloween is just, it's fun, and you dress up in costumes, and who am I? And oh, look at that, that's cool, and blah,
it's a party.
And party, and people give out candy to each other. What's better than that? Kids walking up and down the street, laughing, having a good time. It's nothing but joy, and it's much less pressure and a lot less work, really, than Christmas.
I can't argue with any of that. I think all that makes sense.
You don't have to start like 3 months out to celebrate Halloween. You don't have to like plan your life for, oh, what are we doing this year for Halloween? You know exactly what you're doing for Halloween.
There's no traveling involved. There's no visitors involved.
Oh, and everybody gets out of their houses.
It's all about people. Now you're talking about getting out of your house and going with people.
You see your neighbors, you don't see them all year, but the kids all come by and the parents are with the kids and everybody's laughing and having a good time. It's just a joy. Just a joy.
Is that how you feel about it, Bean?
I enjoy Halloween as well. I like Halloween-type movies and music. I
right.
haven't...
The night of...
How about the holiday itself?
Right.
Giving out of the candy,
the kids,
the hanging out with the kids, the seeing
dressing
what they're dressed as, you dressing up yourself.
I don't dress up. I don't go to Halloween parties. You guys know that. But I will tell you that for years and years and years and years, I have not had to hand out any candy because I have lived... You know, in remote houses, away from people.
Right. Plus razor wire, which helps.
Right. Razor wire and a drawbridge and a moat. Yeah. So I haven't had to deal with it. But this year, my first Halloween in my new home in New Orleans, I live in a city with people and with neighbors.
Yeah.
And that means I'm going to have to deal with that if I can't figure out a way
to deal with that. You're already putting a negative spin on it.
I'm going to have to
Bean can't appreciate the part you appreciate. You appreciate the part with the people.
I love the social aspect of Halloween.
Bean does not like
That's not what Halloween is.
Bean likes
all about,
the movies and the music.
That's what Halloween's all about. It's about kids trick or treating. It's about parties, Halloween parties, dressing up, being someone else, costumes, makeup.
It's also about the 14 to 16 year old where you're trying to figure out do they still get candy or not? No candy for you.
Yeah, everybody gets candy. Everybody gets candy. So what we do at my house is we pick a weekend, couple weeks out, and my wife will cook up a special Halloween sort of luncheon spread. She puts out like a big like buffet, and we pull out all the decorations down from the garage, and then we pull stuff out, and then we just spend the day together listening to Halloween music and putting out the decorations. And my kid loves to point out, Daddy, put this up there, and we put up the skeletons and the cobwebs, and we put the creepy zombies out and stuff, and we just have a blast as a family for an entire day just hanging out and decorating inside and outside the house for Halloween. That's like our
tradition. Do you try to make it super scary outside, or is it just fun family type?
It's fun family for the most part because my kid's six, you know, and she's not really ready for full-blown horror yet. So, I mean, she likes some... We've got a zombie that's crawling out of the ground. She thinks that's funny. And we've got one of those motion sensor...
Mm-hmm. That scream at you?
Butlers, you know.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the... It's going to crow.
sitting on his shoulder.
Oh, man.
We've got the animatronics and stuff. We go, you know, it's fun. It's scary, but it's fun. Yeah.
So is yours the house in the neighborhood that people drive by and slow down and check out your Halloween decorations because they know every year you're going to do it up?
Well, we do it up, but it's not ostentatious. It's not overboard. We don't have those giant inflatable pumpkins on our lawn or whatever. You know, the people go to Home Depot and just load up on all the giant light-up stuff. But we have the strobe lights, and we usually put a speaker outside, and there's music and everything. So it's more for the kids who come to the house for the candy than it is for driving.
Do you hide in the bushes and spray them with the hose like Bean does?
No, I don't. I usually dress up myself, so when I open the door, I'm somebody at the door.
Really?
Yeah.
You dress up to hand out candy?
Yes! Bean, it's fun!
I don't. How about you, Kevin? What's Halloween like at your
house? It's the same as Ralph's. It's the same as
decorations too?
Yeah, it's decorations too. I don't live in a neighborhood where a lot of people come by because there's not a lot of streetlights, but we put decorations out, and it's usually 2 to 3 weeks out. You know, sometimes you get a pumpkin and then it goes bad. You have to get another pumpkin.
Yeah,
but
that's
what are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we're talking about Halloween traditions here. Ralph, explain what he does with his family. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a little look into your life and how you celebrate Halloween, like what you look forward to every year this time of
especially
year.
Especially if you do something unique.
Do you do a pumpkin patch run?
A pumpkin patch run? No.
You don't go to a pumpkin patch to pick out your pumpkins?
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that's what that was. Yeah.
Yeah,
I just pictured somebody running through pumpkin patch.
Yeah,
I was like, I haven't heard of that.
It's like a marathon, only you just run in circles at a pumpkin patch.
Of course we do, yeah.
Well, not everybody does. Some people just go to the supermarket.
You go to the patch.
You got to go to the patch, right?
Patch or nothing, right?
That's part of our tradition, too.
Are patches hard to find in L.A.?
No.
No, they're all over the
corner.
Okay.
They're
already
up
everywhere.
Every corner where there usually is a Christmas tree lot. During Christmas, there's usually a pumpkin patch.
And they're already full-blown going right now.
Yeah.
Can already get one.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. What is your Halloween tradition, particularly if you and your friends or you and your family do something that's a little unusual? We want to hear from you. I guess one thing that I always look forward to every year, Ralph, and this may seem dumb in this era of everything being available on demand, is I still check when It's Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown is going to air on ABC, and I watch it on TV that night. I look for what's wrong with that? It's a great show.
You watch some TV? That's part of your big holiday preparation.
No, I'm saying it's a show.
Here's the thing. When we're talking about human beings
and
behavior, though.
You know what I do? I sit down in front of a television and watch it.
Just sit this one out.
Look, it's a great part of Charlie Brown. How is that not part of a Halloween tradition?
Sure.
Doesn't that count?
All right, okay.
That doesn't count.
It's not on DVD?
Right.
It is, but my point is it's fun to see it on the TV when it airs.
So much from you, but we will take our listeners' calls, 1-800-520-1067, your Halloween traditions when we get...
Talking Halloween traditions here on the Kevin Amin Show, what you and your friends or you and your family do that maybe is a little bit different that you look forward to every year about this time.
Because everybody has Thanksgiving and Christmas traditions, right?
Right.
Those are the holidays that are famous for traditions, but I was just wondering if people have Halloween traditions that they do each and every year.
Well, it certainly looks like, based on our listeners, that a lot of people do, and a lot of people love Halloween as much as you do. Ralph, why don't we go to Ontario to get started? Line two, please. This is going to be Jonathan. I think he's got a pretty good idea.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, so me and my family, what we like to do is, I know Thanksgiving there's a turkey bowl.
Right.
But for Halloween, we do something, the Halloween bowl. What it is we play football, but like dressed up in our costumes as well.
In full costumes.
No, I don't go full out costume. I mean, I like to run. I like to be able to actually play. My friend last year, because when I was in the Army last year, and I even got my friends over there to do it, one of my friends was in that inflatable T-Rex costume thing, and it didn't really work out for him.
Really? What a surprise.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. But for the most part, like, it's a really fun time, because most people are like, oh, Thanksgiving, we do a turkey bowl. I'm like, oh, Halloween, we do the same, but we're dressed up in our costumes.
That's a great idea. I like that.
That is very funny. Thank you for the call, Jonathan. Appreciate that. Give me line eight, please. Let's go down to Irvine and say hi to Haley.
Hey, Haley.
Hey.
Halloween traditions.
My Halloween tradition, well, Halloween's my favorite holiday, and my favorite tradition is probably when we all get together and play the annual Hocus Pocus drinking game.
Is that to the movie Hocus Pocus?
Yes.
Oh, what's the drinking game?
Yeah, what are the rules?
There's a ton. There's, like, take a shot whenever Zachary Binks, the cat, like, supposedly dies.
All right.
We have to shotgun an entire beer when... they sing, I Put a Spell on You.
Love it.
Wow.
Okay.
For those who don't know Hocus Pocus, it's a movie about witches. I think it's Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. And who's the third one?
It's got everything I love.
Kathy and Jimmy, right?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Kathy and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's very, very funny, very Halloween-y
and
movie.
We were pretty much hammered by the end of it.
I can imagine.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Wow. Why don't we try Rob, please, line one. This is in Corona. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Well,
what's
Rob,
going on? Right? Rob there?
Yeah, yes, I am, Rob.
Hey.
What do you do for Halloween, Rob?
Basically, this is going to be like our second year. We're starting to do like a mini like game show in the front lawn, right? We have a prize wheel.
A game show?
And we basically make the kids earn their candy when they come up to the house.
Wait, so they're all dressed up and they walk up to your house and then you like spin a wheel and ask them a question and they have to get it right? What?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically all the kids kind of get a question. If they're not a hard question, it's like, oh, who's the leader of the Avengers? You know, the kids will know that one and stuff.
Do you turn people away because they get the wrong answer?
Yeah, I turned some kids away last year. And
you're the best.
I'm kind of upset about that.
That's terrible.
You got to earn. Yeah, that's a good lesson to learn for kids.
I'm not sure Halloween night is the time to make them learn.
I think it is.
Life is hard, man. Wow.
Earn. Kevin would never get any candy if he was a kid in your neighborhood.
That's why I'm upset. All those little kids that are like me are just walking around with nothing.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the call. Let's go to line three, please. This is going to be Gardena, and William joins the show.
Hey, William.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Pretty good.
What do you do for Halloween?
Every year for the city of Gardena, me, my girlfriend, my brothers, and some friends, we put together a haunted house. And just making kids cry, making them fall, walking through the maze is the best thing ever.
Well, that's the spirit, all
right.
That's right.
Yeah,
making children cry. That's what you're shooting
nothing
for.
Nothing like making those kids cry.
Finally, somebody I can identify with on the phone here today.
Where do you do it? Your front yard?
No, it's at a park.
At a park?
Freeman Park in the city of Gardena.
Okay.
So does that mean it's authorized, like you have to get a permit to be allowed to build a haunted house for the public?
No, because I work for the city, so it was our idea to start doing it, so we just started doing it, so now more parks are doing it.
Anything goes. You can put a guillotine in there, whatever you want, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
A real one.
We actually had one of your guys' saying on there last year, and it was hot fudge moly moly.
Hot fudge moly moly.
How about that?
Awesome. Glad to be represented.
All right. Sounds like fun. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try Van Nuys Line 5. This is going to be Melanie up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Melanie. Hello.
Melanie?
Hi.
Did we wake you? I'm sorry. Do you need 20 more minutes?
Halloween traditions. What do you got?
So every Halloween, ever since I was a kid, there's a guy on my street who's a magician, and he does a free magic show for everybody.
Oh, that's awesome.
That sucks, right?
No, Kevin, it doesn't suck. It's awesome.
Because it's magic.
Right. What better time than magic and Halloween?
Woo, here's a coin from behind your ear.
Oh, what an asshole.
Right?
It's magical.
Yes, it is, Melanie. You're absolutely right. I think it's wonderful that he does that.
I love that magic is magical. Thank you, Melody. Let's go to Luke in Laguna Hills, line two. I'm not sure. I'm having trouble figuring out if this is a good thing or a bad thing that Luke does.
Hey, Luke.
All right. So at around like 1 a.m., me and my friends, we get pretty drunk, and we go around smashing pumpkins.
Oh, that's adorable.
After everyone went to sleep.
I don't know. No, I can't condone
that. You're charming.
So you go on to people's property, to their front porch, and you smash their pumpkin.
Yes. And there's always this one house that has around a 80 to 100-pound pumpkin. It must have cost a lot of money, and that's the best one to smash.
I feel like maybe in the middle of the street, too.
Oh, that's great. I hope you get shot.
It seems like it's very illegal for a lot of reasons and very poorly advised. Don't do that.
It is.
Everyone in Laguna Hills, stock up on shotgun shells this year, will you?
You have our permission and our blessing.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us like he does every Thursday morning just after 9 a.m. That is coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean. You're going to be talking about a story about another celebrity, this time checking himself into rehab for depression. A lot of people are getting very public with their battles with depression right now, which I think is a good sign.
I think so, too. I was glad to see that.
So we'll talk to that. Talk about that with Dr. Drew coming up. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Well, before I get to Showbiz News, let me give away something. I've got four packs of VIP tickets to this Saturday's K-Rock Brewfest at Santa Anita.
Yay!
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
Yeah, that guy will be there.
but don't let that stop you. You should go anyway. It's really a fun day at the racetrack there at Santa Anita. Gates open at 11 a.m. You should enter through gate 6 into the infield, and then you've got 40 different microbrews, a ton of food trucks, and, of course, gambling on the ponies. It's a great day. A bunch of K-Rock folks will be there as well. Chip and Dave and Beer Mug and Nicole Alvarez and Stryker and Omar and Lightning.
Swallow, bitch.
He can't hear you!
Some of Lightning's quality work on the mic.
Is there any way we can keep him away, maybe?
Or at least keep the mic out of
his hand. Is there a microphone in within a mile of him? No, yeah. There's no way you can get him off. Yes.
Well, despite Lightning, let this be your incentive. K-Rock will also be giving away a trip for two to the Voodoo Fest in New Orleans, the big music festival Halloween weekend. And you get to stay at Bean's house, which I think is
great. Cool,
you get to go to the music festival, and you get to hang out with Bean all weekend. So it's a great, great event.
Oh, horse manure.
Go to krock.com for more details. But right now, I've got four packs of VIP tickets. That includes, as you can imagine, you and three friends getting in for free. And then you got drink vouchers and a racing program. Two packs of those to give away right now. Give me a call, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers through, we'll get a four-pack of tickets to the K-Rock Brewfest at Santa Anita this Saturday.
That's going to be the first public appearance of Mr. and Mrs. Beer Mug, right?
Yes.
Together as a married couple.
Defined together.
Well, she'll be off drinking with some dudes, and right. He'll be cleaning up the infield.
And they'll be arriving and leaving separately.
At some point later on in the event, and Beer Mug will catch a ride from the photographer.
Going for the butt.
I'm going to go for the butt.
Right. With the photographer.
A lot of people did not know about Loretta Sanchez dabbing at the in the Senate debate last night.
That picture that you retweeted was so funny.
Glad I got that out there so people could see the kind of serious adults that are involved in the political system. I thought it was great last night. Also, I don't know if you saw any of the coverage of Donald Trump giving a speech in Henderson, Nevada.
Did not.
At his rally. A lot of his people showed up. And I think Donald now is going after every possible vote that he can get, as you can imagine. Why wouldn't you? I thought it was interesting, though. I've never seen a politician really pursue this particular subset, this niche group of voters.
Okay.
Donald Trump going after the terminally ill vote. I don't know if you saw that
terminally
or not.
Terminally ill?
Yes.
No.
He was telling people who are terminally ill,
before you die, vote.
Stick around till November 8th.
No.
Last that long.
Stick around.
Vote for me, and then whatever.
And then after you can die.
You've really outlived your usefulness.
Wow.
Here's a little piece of his speech from yesterday.
I don't care how sick you are. I don't care if you just came back from the doctor. And he gave you the worst possible prognosis, meaning it's over. You won't be around in 2 weeks. Doesn't matter. Hang out till November 8th.
Right. Oh, my God.
Get out and vote.
Yeah.
And then all we're going to say is we love you and we will remember you always.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
There you go. So if you're terminally ill, make sure you get out and vote.
That, he's being funny, though, on that one. It's unbelievable.
He's being funny.
He said before that statement, he says, I'm joking, but I'm not really joking.
Right, but joking.
But he said, I'm not really joking.
Right. Okay. I don't want to get into a political argument at all, so. But I'm just saying.
It's not a political argument.
Sounds like a joke. He's just joking.
But don't say I'm not joking, then, if it's going to be a joke.
All right.
Yeah.
So stick around long enough to vote and then die.
And then die.
Right.
Okay.
That is very funny.
And a good way to get the vote out, by the way.
Sure.
Really, because that's what would be on my mind, I think, if I knew I only had a couple weeks left. My
that's
first priority.
I
want to make sure I get to vote. That's voting, really, is everything.
Everything in my life is going to hell. I'm about to die. But
voting,
if I could vote.
Priority one.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. And fans of the Suicide Squad film, you'll be happy to know you're going to get an extended cut of the film next month with additional scenes that did not make it to the theatrical release. Now, Jared Leto, of course, has famously complained that a bunch of his scenes as the Joker were cut out of the film. Well, those scenes now will reportedly be included, along with another over 10 minutes of deleted scenes, so you get to see him in all his glory with his grill.
Do you believe that will make it a better movie, Ralph, or not?
I will never know. That's what I believe. I will just never know. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
Elizabeth Shue is 53 years old today. Yon Griffith celebrates his 43rd birthday. And Jeremy Sisto celebrates 42 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's pretty much over, isn't it? We should probably talk. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Thanks so much for tuning into the program here on a Thursday morning. We look forward to catching up with our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, who is on the line with us right now. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
I always think about you whenever I see something in the news in particular that is talking about mental health, because you have been a champion for so long about the destigmatization of mental health. And I think this is a great example of what you're talking about. Kid Cudi, who's the very popular rapper and actor, came out with a very, very dramatic Facebook post this week where he talked about how he was ashamed to be a leader and a hero to many, while admitting I've been living a lie. He talks at great length about how he has a raging violent storm inside of him, and he's a damaged human being, and he's suffering from great depression, and he's going to seek help, and he kind of wanted to let his fans know. And I feel like that's the type of statement that you might not have seen. People wouldn't have been brave enough or comfortable enough to post just a few years ago.
I completely agree with you, Bean, and I am so sort of proud of him for doing this. It really brings up the conversation. It's here we are having this conversation this morning. And, you know, whether or not he feels flawed and whether he has a lot of uncontrolled aggression and rage, all that can be symptomatology of his depression. In other words, depression can present as irritability, can present as feelings of worthlessness, suicidal thoughts, and depression is exceedingly common. So good for him for not only talking about the fact that he has this common condition, but that he's going to get treatment.
Now, he says he's going to rehab. Does he mean rehab?
Well, that part drives me a little crazy. I got to tell you that the word rehab has become this sort of catch-all term for a thousand different kinds of treatments. There really is no such thing as rehab. There really is no that is a word that doesn't have any meaning. If you're going into an institution for the treatment of depression, that is a psychiatric hospital. That's where you are going. Now, if perhaps he has a substance problem that is contributing or causing his depression, which is also very, very common, I mean, the depression may not be the primary issue, well, then you can go to, again, some sort of substance abuse treatment center that may include a component of rehabilitation at some place in the stepping down process. But the term rehab is, to me, drives me crazy. It's just become it's a PR term. It's something that people use to spin, and they think they're saying something. What it seems like he's saying in this case is that he's going to a psychiatric hospital for treatment of depression, and God bless him for that.
Okay, so I know there are a million different people with a million different depressions. Not any two cases are the same, but in general, are most people treated for depression through counseling, through medication, or through a combination of both?
It depends, right, as you say, man, it depends on the case. And the literature is really clear on this, that if you have a diagnosed major depression, in other words, your depression is serious enough that you meet the DSM-5 criteria for a major depressive episode, the most positive outcomes are in the setting of medication plus talk plus psychotherapy of various types. And not only is the outcome the best, but the sustained outcomes. There's about a 50% chance of recurrence once you've had a major depression episode. So things like ongoing psychotherapy can really reduce that risk of recurrence. Medication is really reserved for, we, of course, overuse medications today. Medications become the sort of panacea for everything that ails you. You know, every time you feel life is a little, you know, there's something Freud used to call ordinary misery, right? I mean, life sucks sometimes, and that's not major depression. And we shouldn't be giving medication for ordinary misery. But when you meet criteria for depression, you're thinking about suicide, which, again, anyone who's contemplating suicide, that is a sign that their depression is severe. Sometimes people have only the suicidal thinking as a feature of their depression. But that's a situation in which their psychiatric illness, their medical illness, their brain condition is endangering their life. And yes, you would use medication in that case to stabilize them and get them over the hump of that particular window.
You know, I was thinking, Dr. Drew, we've talked in the past about various addictions that people have, and I think you said at one point that a food addiction is tough because, unlike with alcohol or drugs where you can just quit and never do them again, you have to eat, and therefore you're always kind of putting yourself in a precarious situation, you know, being close to relapsing with your food addiction. Same thing with somebody who's being treated for depression. All the greatest medicine and counseling in the world doesn't mean there's not going to come a time in your life when you're going to feel sad or you're going to feel bad about things, right? You just have to understand what the difference is between what's normal and what's a problem.
No, that's right. And if your brain chemistry and if the psychodynamic, if the circumstances are such that you sort of, let's say, fall out of bed, sink into a hole that is so severe that it affects your functioning, that it affects your ability to eat and sleep, that it's affecting your safety and well-being, well, that's a situation that's different than, so again, ordinary misery. Or as Woody Allen said, that life is divided between people that are horrible and miserable. And the horrible is how you feel when you're depressed.
But aren't there an awful lot of people out there, you know, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe more, of people who are never suicidal but are just sad all the time and may not even realize that they actually have a condition like this?
For sure, but sad all the time is actually something called dysthymia, which is a little bit different. Again, these are all have genetic components. They're all, of course, expressions of brain physiology. But dysthymia, again, another sort of, it's like a chronic low-grade depression. How you treat that is actually kind of controversial. Again, my basic sort of approach always is, look, use the medication when things are medically relevant and in a crisis, but ultimately the interpersonal experience, the sharing of some sort of therapeutic process with a skilled individual where one person is asking for help, the other person wants to give help, that can be extraordinarily effective, and it's grotesquely underutilized in today's world.
How often is it just a medical problem a chemical problem versus the way you think?
Yeah, no, wait, no. But Kevin, you bring up a really interesting point.
No one's ever said that to me before. Thank you.
I don't know what came over me, in fact. That's a very strange thing to say, but thank you nonetheless. But which is that I spent a good portion of my career working in a psychiatric hospital doing medical clearances on psychiatric patients, and I cannot tell you how many times I uncovered an underlying medical problem that was actually the source of the depression. So one of the very most important things in terms of getting depression treatment that people sometimes leave off the table is a thorough medical evaluation. Heart disease, cancer, thyroid conditions, all kinds of disorders can present as depression. And I had a frontal lobe brain tumor present that way, and this guy was literally disabled for years before I got to him, and I said, let's get an MRI, and there's a big brain tumor sitting in there. And, you know, you have to always get a thorough medical evaluation because that can also cause depression.
So we live in a world now where Kevin is fact-checking Dr. Drew Pinsky.
And
that's what happened.
And making a good point, everyone.
I don't know about fact-checking, so it's prompting. It's prompting. It's my prompter.
Come on, well, Doc. You can't give me one thing.
Well, look.
Fluffer?
Fluffer, good.
Here's my
takeaway, and this is why, as Kevin said, he was so glad to see Kid Cudi put his name on this, because in recent weeks we've had Selena Gomez, who took a break from her tour because she was dealing with depression. We saw Bruce Springsteen do a whole round of interviews after his autobiography came out where he said, look, I had weeks where I couldn't get out of bed. And we look at him from the outside, Dr. Drew, and you've written and talked so much about the celebrity culture and the way we tend to idolize these people. We look at Bruce Springsteen and go, that's a guy who's got it all. That's a guy who's got it made. That's a guy who's together and happening and has everything going right. And you have no idea what's going on in somebody else's head until you hear it from them like this.
Well, being better point than Kevin's, okay? Am I better now?
Come on,
better
point
than Kevin's. Got
hey, come
okay.
on, give
so,
me
so,
one.
Yeah, yes, yes. The fact I did. Okay. The fact is that celebrities are no different than anyone else, and having a lot of money or having things you think will make you happy does not necessarily make you happy, and it does not significantly insulate you necessarily from depression.
I was pleasantly surprised by this because not only did he say depression, but he also said suicidal thoughts, and I feel like people keep that to themselves so much that was a healthy statement to make.
Yeah, they do, and it's actually very, very common, and I, they're calling me over here. I'm at Access Hollywood right now.
Oh,
saying,
okay.
Let's go.
Let's just end on my good note then.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Mike Gatherwood this afternoon from noon till 3, drdrew.com for all the podcasts. Have a great interview, whatever you're doing there, Drew. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
As you know, all this week on K-Rock, we're giving away 4 packs of Disneyland Resort Park Hopper passes, and you get to be at K-Rock's private party at the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. You know, Dave was just telling us they're getting ready to – this is one of the last times anyone will ever go on the Tower of Terror.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they're tearing it down for the Guardians of the Galaxy. Right. So we're doing that, and congratulations and thanks for listening to Patrick Gagnon from Manhattan Beach. He is listening.
Oh.
Just won his tickets.
Oh, Patrick Gagnon.
Your chance to win coming up with Cat Corbett after 10.
Hey,
Ralph Grammer, what's going on?
Patrice Gagnon, you are very good in Manhattan Beach.
Hmm?
La Playa.
That is correct.
American Idiot. One of the best albums of my lifetime.
Oh, who also an album. That's right. Also an album. I'm
How
sorry.
How dare you pointing
I was
at me?
Talking about you for a second.
Okay. yes. It also was an album.
Not just Kevin's
Not
nickname.
Just Kevin. And
just a solid point.
He just was not going to let it drop.
And they've been talking about making it a movie for some time because, you know, it was also a Broadway production, a big musical as well.
Right.
Well, today, NME Magazine is reporting that the long-awaited and much-rumored American Idiot movie has been given a green light by HBO.
All right.
So it looks like it's going to happen. Billy Joe spoke with NME about it in brief. Here's what he had to say. That's the plan right now. Yeah, we got a green light from HBO. The script is currently going through a couple of rewrites here and there, so I'm not sure exactly when we're going to start shooting, but it's definitely all systems go at the moment. So
yum, yum. Give me some of that.
That's good news. This has been in talk since back in 2011 when it was reported initially that Universal Pictures was in negotiations to work on the film with Playtone, the production company run by Tom Hanks. It was also reported that Michael Mayer was going to be the director of the film. Now, with this new news, no one knows if Universal is involved or Playtone or Mayer is still involved. So we'll find out more as we move forward. But HBO looks like they will be producing the film. And
I have a question for our American Idiot. And that is, Kevin, one of the greatest albums of your lifetime.
He's talking about you, dude.
Right?
The album. I think he's talking about the album. Yes, Bean.
Yeah, one of the greatest albums.
Yeah.
It's a rock opera. About what?
American Idiots.
What's the storyline, though? What happens in it?
People are idiots.
Okay.
Kevin Mad Libs, the news.
Well, I just assumed you'd probably listen to it a lot.
I did listen to it a lot.
I
don't listen to words, though.
That's true, too.
I listen to the song in my head, but it doesn't just stick there.
Just curious what the storyline was.
I don't
all.
Have a head of fly paper with things sticking to it. My head's not wax.
Speaking of movies I'm looking forward to, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yay! The third chapter in the blockbuster franchise. Now, look, Planet of the Apes, James Franco, that whole thing, fine. It was fine. It was good. It was good. Then Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came along.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Crushed it.
Awesome movie.
It was an amazing film.
Right.
And I think War for the Planet of the Apes is going to be just as strong. Big trailer drops tonight. Today, they just give us a little tease. It's Caesar.
Milan?
No. Caesar the Ape. Andy Serkis's Caesar warning off one of his friends. Still, it's stunning visual. Check it out if you can. Just this little teaser trailer. But the audio itself is devastating because now apparently Caesar has learned to speak quite well as we move forward in the story.
You must go. Before fighting begins, I am sorry. War has begun.
Wow.
That
sounds great.
Spoiler alert, I don't think the humans fare well in this war.
What?
I remember a guy. I remember one guy saying once, "It's a madhouse!" Remember that guy showing up and things were not looking good for the humans. Hey, I always like to give people an opportunity to pursue their dreams, to pursue any ideas they have about fame, fortune, becoming a star,
A lot of people want to live like Kevin and Bean. They want the big money, the big cars, the private jets.
Right.
They want to live large, be famous in halls of fames and stuff and everything.
Don't forget all the ladies. Don't forget the ladies.
I want to give people that chance. That's why I try to talk about casting opportunities when I can. Opportunities for you to gain fame and fortune. This is no different. I want to let people know about the anus contest.
I'm sorry. What?
You heard me.
Did you say anus?
Yes.
It's contest.
It's an anus beauty contest.
Okay.
In the next 35 days, you can go to anuscontest.com and you can enter if you think you have a particularly attractive anus.
Butthole pucker.
Here's the founder of the contest giving you all the rules and explaining exactly what's going on.
The entire world will come to anuscontest.com to vote on all of the anuses, assigning each anus a score from 1 to 10 stars. This contest is co-ed. It's a battle of the sexes, anus edition. $10,000 of prize money is up for grabs.
First place, $5,000.
Yes.
You want to hear a theme song? You want to hear the anus contest theme song?
Badly.
If you moon the mirror and see fame in there, today you are lucky. Whether male or female, now your sinkhole is a path to money.
That's right.
Wow.
Path to money.
That is so great.
I'll give you a heads up if you'd like to enter anuscontest.com.
I'm going to let my butthole talk.
What?
Sorry, we're playing them both at the same time. I'm going to let my butthole talk.
You should. It could be your path to fame and fortune.
Is that part of the competition, or is it just looks?
Just looks. Okay. I don't believe there's any interview portion.
That's too bad.
I don't think they ask you a question, then you have to...
That's too bad. I would rock that.
Yes, you would.
Now, is this going to be judged on photos only, or is there a live event?
Photos only.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Enter your photo.
It's a shame.
If you've got a particularly attractive anus, then you can make some cash and garner some fame.
Yeah.
For yourself.
It could be a first step to a career doing something.
A lucrative career.
You're doing something.
World
I'm not sure where that leads.
Modeling.
Right, there you go.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeremy Sisto is 42 years old today. Ewan Griffith celebrates his 43rd. And Elizabeth Shue. Oh, love her so much. She's 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we've got the movie beat. We have a brand-new internet roundup. We check in with R.J. Bell to get his picks for the NFL Week 5. Whitney Cummings will be in studio, one of our favorite comedians. And Matt Money Smith takes a look at the Dodgers and the Nationals in the playoffs. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.